companies come together now. MBNA is B of A, and it's one bank, one con, one name that's known all over the world, one spirit, we get to share it, leading us all to higher standards. Cowboys, or your university, do you like the Yankees, or is NASCAR more your speed? Well, it's your choice, your right, to pick a car that shows your heart and your pride. We're one with a Trinity, and we'll carry each other, carry each other. Whoa. Have you come to me, Bruce Hammers? Have you come to me, Leah McGee? Have you heard about Michelle Shepard? She's leading the team in the Northeast. And we've got Bank One on the run. What's in your wallet? It's not Capital One. It's us. So which card are you? Integration's never had us feeling so good. And we'll make lots of money. Forever I can sing about trusting and teamwork and doing the right thing. We'll live out our core values while the competition crawls. Cause they want what we have got. But it's only here.
Jenny,
hi, I'm all nervous, but here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're gonna have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking, looking at country clubs. Things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy. Give it to us. Word.
Oh, there you go. Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Solution, my friend. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed and newly becurtained studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your daily experience and your so forth and your radio presence and your patronage and your whatnot, your hey, and your mic, mic. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to join us today, telephonically speaking. Who did I hear say that? I heard somebody else say that like 2 days ago. Somebody else said, if you'd like to join us telephonically. Well, whatever. You know what we should do someday? Is we should just create a whole day's like a worth of intros or broadcasts. Just via tape recordings of other people saying stuff that we say. have, you say, like, what's his name? That Dr. Skippy, the Doug guy, whatever his name is. That guy saying the In the Year of Our Lord 2007 or whatever. We just create a whole montage of this program's sayings being used elsewhere. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to speak with us today about, you know, things, stuff, happenings, observations, what have you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And by the way, Chris Neathan, this little private message. Remember when Dear Abby used to do that? I don't think Dear Abby, well, she's dead. She doesn't do much of anything anymore. Is Ann Landers dead, too? They're all dead, aren't they? Dear Abby, Ann Landers, they're all dead, right? Yeah, that's right, because Dan Savage did a whole thing about Ann Landers when she died. Okay, Ann Landers, dead long time. Dear Abby, dead recently. Both of them weird with strange haircuts and speech impediments. Anyway, Dear Abby used to do this thing, and I think I'm not the only one who was always sort of tantalized and mystified by it. It was always sort of compelling and intriguing, a little bit strange. You would read Dear Abby sometimes, and at the end of some of her columns, she would just give private secret messages to individual readers. Like, you wouldn't even get to see what the question was. Like, there would be, like, a whole lot of, Dear Abby, my husband, my husband has sex with small rodents. What should I do? And then she would respond and blah, blah, and it would be, you know, flummoxed in flushing. And then she would respond. And then occasionally at the end of the Dear Abby column, she would just say, confidential to wondering in Fresno, a bird in the hand, dot, dot, dot. And then that's like all it would say. It was some weird hybrid of Dear Abby and like that Larry King column that he used to do in USA Today. There's no better flower than a petunia. I was paid $10,000 for this. Anyway, so confidential for me to Chris Neathan. Chris Neathan, I think we found your Halloween costume for late 2007. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Just you, a guitar, a Bank One shirt, you are set. So there you go. A little observation from me to you. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733. If we were real nerds, when the Halloween season is upon us, and we'll fry those fish when they get here. If we were real nerds, we would do a come as your favorite viral video party. I'm calling dibs on that right now, even if we don't use it, you jackals. So anyway, it's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, by God, you can do that as well. It's, hold on, cough button. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your confessions, your what have you. And I would like to tell you now it is one day, so that's 32 hours. 32 hours from Listener Party 10. Emerson History X happening tomorrow, Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda, 9 Northwest 2nd. People have asked if there's a cover. There is not. People asked if there is tickets required. No, there are not. So that is used. Be there, be 21, and be ready to debauch, my friends. So that is happening tomorrow. We will be counting down to that all through today, all through tomorrow. It is about... Well, I don't know when the mystery guest is going to be getting on a plane. Probably tomorrow morning, maybe. I don't really know the answer to that, come to think of it.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know how long that trip takes.
I don't want to speculate on the length of the flight. That might, I might be hoisted by my own thing at that point. But tomorrow morning, I believe. Maybe. It's all very unclear. Tomorrow morning. Really? Is that how long it takes? Okay. All right. So working backwards then. All right, okay. So, yes. So the mystery guest will be boarding a plane tomorrow. The mystery guest will be coming to Portland, Oregon. I don't think the mystery guest is going to be... Well, the mystery guest is certainly not going to be on the show tomorrow. The mystery guest will be probably in the building at some point tomorrow. And then the mystery guest will be unveiled at Listener Party 10, which is happening Thursday. That's tomorrow. 32 hours. I hope you're not sick of hearing that because I'm not even close to being sick of saying it. 32 hours tomorrow, Listener Party 10, April 19th, Emerson History X, Barracuda. So we'll talk more about that. So we've got that coming up. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, and I don't mean to make light of this, but I got to tell you, I don't even know why they sent me all three pages of the CNN prep sheet, because every one, it all just says, the Virginia Tech shooting. They could have just cut and pasted this. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the seriousness. No matter who you're talking to today, that's what they're discussing. So anyway, so we'll talk to Lisa Gutter, who's actually on the campus there. We'll also talk to Jim Roopsey of People in the City of Angels, which is a place where you think people would just be inured to gun violence by now. That place is just awash in death anyway. Los Angeles, you walk into that, they ought to just have one of those things at the Los Angeles city limits, like one of those national debt clocks, which I don't think they have anymore. I think the national debt clock went away. There used to be this thing, I think it was in Times Square, where you could see what the national debt was at any given moment. It was like a continuously updated electronic reader board. And then even more interestingly, it would show you your portion of the national debt, what it is that you owed. And they ought to just have one of those when you enter Los Angeles. There's a number of people killed for no readily apparent reason inside this thriving metropolis so far this year. So we'll talk to Jim Roop later on. What else? Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com is going to be here to talk about the film's opening this weekend. We'll talk real briefly about this guy. What is his name? His name is Kevin Stern, who was, not to sound like we're dwelling, but this is forwarded me from Jeff McGinley in engineering. So we'll talk just real briefly about this kid, Kevin Stern, who was a senior, or is a senior, I guess, at Virginia Tech. And we'll talk about that, and there's a real specific reason. I got this email here. We'll talk about him real specifically here in just a moment. Let's see. What else do we have here? We will continue our story for the worst news story in the history of all humanity. Yesterday was an exciting... Wait, where did I put it? A part of it's in the other room. Yesterday was an exciting face-off between ow, 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 you can't operate on me, I'm still alive and awake and paralyzed and ow, ow, ow. And hey, hey, there's blood gushing into my mouth while I'm knee-deep in sewage. So the sewage story was, in fact, victorious. Today, the exciting sewage story faces off again. This story right here. As we hunt for the worst story in the history of everything.
Where did you even find these?
People send them to me. Because they're good inside. Not the stories, but the people. The people aren't all that good inside either. I'm just going to say, this story contains the phrase, there's a constant throbbing. I mean, it's my testicle. We'll get to that today. The testicle story will face off against the mouthful of blood story, and we'll see which one the people find more horrific. Please do not vote now. What else? Just in case you were wondering what John Kerry has to say about Don Imus, John Kerry will weigh on that. Days and days and days to live. No one even, I was talking to somebody about this morning, somebody in upper management, nobody even cares about Don Imus at this point. We've all just forgotten. And I know it's terrible to say, but you know, in a horrifying way, Don Imus is just glad that something took him off the front page. It didn't matter what it was. Don Imus is just waiting for that next big story to come along. So, all right. We have news from Florida, that's pretty much, well, we have the top five. We'll talk to Scotty J, who apparently... Scotty went to sleep. He'll have to lay out the whole story for me, but apparently Scotty went to sleep at midnight last night. He went to bed at midnight anyway. He went to bed at around midnight 15, something like that, midnight 30, and then he didn't fall asleep until almost 4 a.m. because he was laying in bed transfixed with horror and anxiety about his DJing gig tomorrow at Listener Party 10. So anxious is he. So filled with is he with the desire to do a good job that he was awake for like 3.5 hours, and I just picture him in bed, staring at the ceiling, just awash in a cold sweat. Well, he tries to figure out how to best please the audience tomorrow. So we'll talk to Scotty about that. We have Tom Likas coming up later on this afternoon at 3, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. Plus, we'll be talking more about what's going to be happening at Listener Party 10 tomorrow. I saw some of the museum pieces, which are sort of finished and assembled today. It's going to be badass, by the way. The captioning, the captions, and the mounting is... Of a lot of the exhibits has already happened. They're already set up. The displays are created. All they have to do is be actually put down there at Barracuda, which is going to happen tomorrow. So it's all very thrilling. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And later on, we may not uncork this right now. I may wait till the end of this segment because we're going to have Lisa Goddard a little bit later than we normally do. She's going to be on around 11:45 or so. Today's high concept topic will be this, and we're not going to do banks and banks of these all at once. We're going to scatter these throughout today's program, I believe. Today's high concept topic is to complete this phrase. Because the only reason I bring this up is because I've had a couple people, well, not a couple, I've had people, any number of people who've emailed me recently who said that either A, they just moved here, B, this is the first, I get a lot of people who have never come to a listener party before who are going to be coming to this one for various reasons. Our good friend Todd the Corpse, for example, he's been, that guy's a core listener, he's a P1. That guy's a hardcore listener, has never come to a listener party, largely for the same reasons that I try not to go to places, he just detests people. And the larger the number of people, the larger the amount of detestment within his soul. But he is coming to this, he's never been to one before, he's never been there, he's never been in attendance, he's only heard the stories, he's only seen the photos, he's only whatever. Of course, we've got new listeners, people that just discovered us on 970, we got people who maybe were casual listeners before, but due to the brilliance and unmitigated genius that this program provides 20 hours a week, have become more faithful listeners. So we got all kinds of people who are coming to the listener party tomorrow who have no idea what to experience. Maybe they weren't there over the last few years. Maybe they haven't been there since the very beginning. And they're not quite sure exactly what this listener party is going to consist of. So today, and we might do this tomorrow too, I might drag this out and whore this for a second day, but definitely today, the high concept phone topic for today is to please be completing the sentence. This one time at a listener party. ... That's it. There you go.
Oh, boy.
That is today's high concept phone topic. It is 503-733-2970. We're not going to get to thousands of those in a row, but we will be scattering those throughout today's program like croutons over a bisque. 503-733-2970. This one time at a listener party. ... We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon Y. Hello, and how are you?
You know what I love about MySpace is the fact that it chooses to go down the day before I need to relentlessly whore the listener party. And now no bulletins or updates or anything are working. So it's really awesome.
I don't see bulletins anymore. Is there something wrong with my MySpace setup? Because I was looking at my MySpace thing yesterday, and I don't see bulletins, which makes me wonder if when I send bulletins, anybody else is seeing them.
I think they do.
On my front page, all last night and this morning, no bulletins.
Well, it says that they're down right and they're currently undergoing special maintenance. They'll be back soon. Smiley, winky face emoticon. I want to punch my computer screen.
It is owned by News Corp, which is the largest company in the history of everything. Shouldn't it just work? That's the thing about MySpace. Is it's not like it's being run out of some kid's dorm room. I mean, that's owned by Rupert Murdoch. Shouldn't it just goddamn operate correctly? It's just the whole thing infuriates me. It makes me want to find that Tom guy and just kick him in the groin. And sometimes you can't upload new photographs.
Yeah, I've been having problems with that. Well, I can't edit my profile at all for the show.
Can I just tell you what I couldn't do last night? I was working on the MySpace last night, and I was trying to send out... I don't want to turn this into a whole things I hate about MySpace. But let me ask you this, Sarah.
Yeah.
Real quickly here. Single most irritating thing about MySpace? Go. And I'm not saying it has to be the same as mine.
Oh, it's the relentless, like, bullets, like the spam bulletins. Not the spam ones, but the ones where your friends do, like, the 20 questions or just, like, completely...
Oh, I get those too. If you pass this along to 9 people and keep it going, and it's
I hate that.
It's
your Christmas chain letter thing.
Can I just tell
and the lighting in here is so bright I can hardly see you.
Did you ever get a MySpace chain letter from somebody who you kind of respect, who you thought was sort of smart, and then you get a MySpace thing and you're like, oh God, I didn't realize you were stupid. You're an idiot. All right.
I don't know, but what's your least favorite thing?
I'll reveal that after this.
Ooh.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
We got some breaking news here. A suspect has been caught with an ammunition belt at Lewis and Clark College, this during a lockdown. The Virginia Tech killer had stalked women before. The owner of the gun store where he bought the Glock last month disguised him as a nice, clean-cut college kid. The kind of kid you wouldn't give a second thought to selling a gun to.
Yeah.
It was a social misfit and a self-described question-mark kid, and he spent time in a mental facility.
Well, okay.
There may be other things going on in the world. We'll try to find out more, such as the story of Larry Burkhead's secret gay lover.
Attention, Sarah Dillon. Ooh, I think called that about 6 months ago.
Seamus did.
All right, really? Well, that's okay. You can take credit for it. Okay. I take credit for all kinds of things that Seamus has done. all right, well, so there you go. How long until some nutcase goth theater group performs that play that guy wrote? Counting down 3, 2, 1. That'll happen by the end of the month. By the end of the month, I'm making this prediction right now. By the end of the month, some pack of attention-whoring goth kids, and I don't mean to tar with a big brush, but come on, is going to perform that one-act play by the shooter, and then it's going to set up a whole, has freedom of speech gone too far? And there'll be some idiot news story all about it. You know it's true.
Yeah, that play is one of the most disturbing things I've read.
It's dumb, though. It's badly written and stupid.
It's like a sixth grade boy wrote it.
Totally. Well, that's why he was so angry, because he was a terrible writer. But that's...
But Hitler is a failed art student.
And he isn't as many, you know, I can't get the trees right. I will kill everybody! Anyway. All right. Blah, blah, blah. I dump that.
Thank
Sarah.
You.
Too soon.
God, no. That is why it's bad.
I barely knew her. That's all I'm going to say. I'm only going to give the punchline. I just had to dump Sarah for the first time in probably a year. I never have to dump you. I just had to bleep something Sarah said. The punchline to it was, I barely knew her. Anyway.
Don't give people the wrong idea.
Uh-huh. What would the right idea be? Okay.
I'm ashamed.
Uh-huh.
And we just found out this guy at Lewis and Clark College, his ammunition belt was holding about 50 rounds of live ammunition.
Did they beat him senseless?
Okay, so they've taken him into custody.
Really? They didn't just, I mean, I'm not advocating that the police just get rid of people who are clearly going to be a problem, but I mean, come on. How hard is it? How hard would it be to say, no, he fired at us?
Apparently, it began at 9:15 this morning when a staff member saw a white man with an ammunition belt on the Fur Acres campus.
Yeah.
This according to an email sent out to the school's office.
You know, and guys like that, I don't know whoever you are with your gun belt at Lewis and Clark, that's just pathetic. It's just pathetic. You know what I mean? Just not only just, I mean, just trying to get attention the lamest, worst possible way that you could. I mean, seriously,
he's a student.
Well, and now he's being, and now he's in a jail cell, having his testicles beaten with a hose. And I hope you enjoy it, friend. You know, you should go get some therapy and go get laid and leave us all alone. God damn. All right. I will say this, by the way, that the Wall Street Journal had an editorial today that mimicked almost word for word what we were saying on yesterday's program, which is crazy people are going to go crazy. There's nothing you can do about it. And all the discussion of solutions in the world ain't going to help because crazy people are going to do crazy things around the rest of us. So, all right. It's 503-733-2970. I'm just saying this. For me, just to go back to what we were talking about earlier, the single most irritating thing about MySpace is when you're trying to send out event invitations and you have to click and point one by one by goddamn one.
That is obnoxious. You're right.
And I don't mean to brag, but I got like 1,300 people that I got to send for. And you can't just... I'm just saying you can't do like... here's this. So you can't do like a control A and immediately invite all your friends at once. And if you've ever done an invitation on MySpace, you know what I'm talking about. Where you create an invitation to an event, like an e-vite, and then it's like, well, to which of your friends do you wish to send this? And there's no just send to everyone on my list. You've got to click on their name and hit add for each name. And again, I've got like 1,200 and some people. So 1,200 times, I've got to go click, add, click, add, click, add. Click, and for 1,200 people, except it's more than 1,200, because I got two-thirds of the way done last night, and then MySpace crashed on me. I hit the enter, and it was like, we're sorry, an unexpected technical error has occurred. And what does that mean, an unexpected technical, as opposed to the myriad expected and planned technical errors? Just doesn't make any sense. I went home last night, I had like carpal tunnel in my hand, while having to clicking an ad. It's hard being an American. All right. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. We should know, by the way, now you can't really see this, but you should note that we're in a fantastically redecorated studio. The final piece of the studio puzzle has been put in here. And the whole back of the wall where we had all this exposed ductwork and these Brady Bunch wood paneling shelves, they've been covered by some thick black velour curtains, which really do look badass. And then Jeff McGinley, the good news, bad news is Jeff McGinley came through and replaced all of the light bulbs. I don't mean to complain, but now they are all so bright and poorly aimed that they are blinding all of us.
What? And I'm blinded, but then I can't see. And you're completely in darkness, so I can't even see your facial expressions.
It's just my aura. I'm enshrouded in gloom, and you can't even see. Is it that I'm in darkness, or is it there's a light pointing right in your eyes?
Actually, now that I'm looking around, all of them are pointing at me.
Yes. Well, that's as it should be. All right, it's 503-733-2. Hey, did I say about this chick who looks just like you on a porn site?
No.
Okay. 503-733.
Why do you say crap like that?
I didn't know if I'd share that with you or not. 503-733-2970. You can also... It wasn't me that found it. You can also email me if you'd like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. What else? And just by the
way...
Have
you seen it? Does it actually look like me?
Do you want to know the answer to either of those questions?
No. No, I don't.
You want to know where I saw it?
Where?
Okay, here's the thing. Now, do you really want to know this?
Well, I'm not doing porn, so it's not me. So, go ahead.
Well, a lot of her face was covered, so I couldn't really tell. But, I'm just kidding. No, here's the thing. I won't identify, and then we'll take a break here in a while. We'll come back. We'll do some phone calls, email. We'll talk to Scotty J. So forth. Lisa got it at 11:45. We can run a little late, though, here, because she's not coming up till later. I'm just going to say this. This is a true story. So I'm sitting at my computer, and I will not identify the other party in this story.
Oh, okay.
I don't wish to embarrass anyone. But so we are a sister station to Kink FM. 101. What is it? Kink 102? FM 102? Kink 101.9? What do they call them? Is it Kink at Kink.fm? How do they, what is the positioning? How do they actually call, what's the name of the station now? It's not FM 102 anymore.
Yeah, Kink FM 102.
Okay, anyway. So we are a sister station to Kink FM. Now, here's the thing, is that when Kink Radio went to register a domain name for their website, as you might imagine, something that was not available because it was already being used was kink.com. Now, probably 100 times a year, somebody who is a new employee, a recent hire, or somebody who is maybe just not thinking properly, will go, and I did this, I will totally confess, I have done this. I have gone and typed in kink.com on my browser, thinking that I'm going to the Kink Radio website. We had that whole business with what's-her-name, Rebecca Webb, who was apparently unable to tell. I'm going to bleep that. That was unduly mean.
What is wrong with us
today? It was unduly mean. That was unduly harsh. I'm just going to say, there was all this unpleasantness with Kink Radio in Portland, Maine, at one point, and Peter Carlin. So I had gone to the Kink Radio website. I thought, what did I do? I sat down in my browser and I typed in kink.com. When you type in kink.com, and I encourage you not to do this if you're at work, by the way. Do not do this if you are at work or if you are in any way being monitored by human resources. When you type in kink.com, you don't get Kink the radio station. You get a guy having his buttocks flogged by a large man in a hood. And so I found this out the hard way, by the way, when I went to send an email to Jeff McGinley in engineering, and I sent it to jeffm@kink.com. To their credit, I got a nice email back from the porn site saying, I think it's the wrong Jeff, smiley face. So Kink Radio is at kink.fm. Anyway, so about 100 times a year, somebody in this building will think they're going to the Kink Radio website. They'll go to kink.com, and they'll just get a whole lot of boobs. So somebody who will remain nameless came by my office yesterday and said, Sarah does some modeling, doesn't she?
Oh, God.
And I said, yeah, she does, because you've done things for Bishops, and you've done things for Baby Girl Boutique. And I said, yeah, and he goes, have you gone to kink.com recently? And I said, well, that's a porn site. Of course I haven't, especially not on company time. And this person said, you might want to go there. There's something that's kind of interesting looking. And so I said,
are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. So I go to Kink. I go to kink.com. And, of course, it's like an immediate, the first thing that comes is somebody that's not you. It's like some girl with long blonde hair and like a horse or something. And I said, that's not Sarah. And the person said, oh, well, that's not the picture that I got. Try refreshing it a couple times. So I'm there. Attention, Laura Klein. So there I'm sitting there in my office refreshing the kink.com page over and over again, getting a whole succession of horrifying images. And then finally, like the fourth time I hit refresh, and I'm not saying this to embarrass you because it's not you, clearly, I don't think.
Don't say that.
And there's no nudity. And there's no nudity.
You know it's not.
There's no nudity in it, to be fair. And it's very tastefully done. But about the fourth time I hit refresh at kink.com, I swear to God, if you didn't know Sarah all that well, like if you just sort of had a passing knowledge of what you looked like, or maybe you were just sort of squinting a little bit and didn't really, or you were looking at it from across the room, I swear to God. I mean, the ball gag obscures some of her features, so you can't really.
Oh, sweet Lord.
But it looked more than, I mean, I can see where.
Was it at the top? I'm at kink.com.
I can. I can see where the misunderstanding came. I'll see, now I have to walk over and hold on. Now I gotta walk over and look. Hold on.
I'm just supposed to figure out which one looks like me.
Okay, that's not her. No, that's she's no. No, that's not her. Ooh, ow.
That doesn't look
Why
fine.
Would you want to do that to your lip?
I don't know.
No, that's not her. That's no, that's a girl in a stock. Let's see.
I'm
no.
Oh, that's
This is really disturbing.
Oh, no, keep the mic to the stock girl.
You should call Les Moonves and ask him to weigh in. No? You might have to close the site and, no, that's a different girl. That's kind of a, she's kind of a,
Okay.
You keep saying girl on the stock. No, try it a few more times.
Okay. Let's go back to the porn site. Yeah.
But, no, I'm simply saying, journalistically speaking, it's important that I know that, I know that we've pursued this issue.
Are you serious?
She did look a lot like you. I have to really be honest about that. Ah, right there. That's her. Okay, now, there's no nudity. Now, but Jeff McGinley is here. Hold on a second. Now, we're now joined by CBS Radio Chief Engineer Jeff McGinley. Yes, Jeff, if you didn't know better, and you just had a casually glance at the screen, that girl with the ball gag, dead ringer for Sarah or what? Come on, be honest.
Yeah, well, she's got the hair. I'll agree
and
with you.
Generally,
ball
generally
gag
speaking,
does.
Her facial features, she weighs a little more than you.
Same eyes,
though.
Yeah, it's from the eyes up, including the hair.
Now, Sarah. Now, if I can ask an awkward question.
I wouldn't be laughing if I didn't think it kind of looked like me.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think that a little bit like you?
If somebody didn't know me.
By the way, I'd like to note that there is no nudity in this photograph.
And it's not me. No,
it's not Sarah. Well, no, and I'm just saying we are not viewing nudity in the studio because that would be wrong if hot. So it does look a little bit like you. You would acknowledge that. It maybe is an under, and people who know that you do a little bit of edgy modeling maybe. You've done some sort of you've done that goth video where you're flogging some other girl with something or whatever. So,
no. Anyway,
what you shouldn't do is save that photograph.
I'm not going to
save the photograph. So you can placate the thousands of listeners who will be asking you for. So you can placate Seamus.
That doesn't look that much. Okay, that does look a lot like me. It's kind of freaking me out,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We are going to have giant video screens tomorrow night at Listener Party 10.
Sarah's new look.
And I am running the video booth.
It's a new direction for Sarah's appearance. That was too much. That was one. That was trying too hard. That was chasing the laugh right
there. That's really uncomfortable.
See, but... It does kind of look like you, doesn't it?
Yeah, the more I looked at it, the more it did.
And, you know, and that makes me feel all weird because, you know.
At least she's not all, like, topless. And...
No, I said it's very tasteful.
Tasteful in a ball gag way.
In as much as there's no nudity. I'm just saying, that girl looks not dissimilar from you. That's my only point. So there you go. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, and I'm going to make this, should we break?
Yeah, we probably should.
Let's take a break.
I feel a little uncomfortable. I need coffee.
I'm going to go sponge off.
Yeah.
Be back after this. Lisa Goddard coming up later. Tim Riley in the AM 970 newsroom. We have Jim Roop later on, Mr. Skin, your phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Using that right donkey. 503-733-2970. Rick, the best thing, and this is the final comment on it. Rick, the best thing about it is that Sarah's uncomfortable tone of voice matches the picture. Thanks, you've made my morning. I always feel dirty when I email you, Rick. You're a dirty, dirty boy, it says. All right, thank you, sir. Well, I'm trying to help. 503-733-2970. You want to talk about uncomfortable? And this is not maybe as uncomfortable. This is the final observation I'm going to make about the curtains in the studio, too, which I know that nobody can really see. So, we're in this brand new studio, which was, up until yesterday, about 85% complete. And it just had this back wall where there was this bad shelving. I mean, not bad, but it was functional, but it was just sort of tacky looking. And it had this sort of 70s, like, wood grain Formica covering. It just looked bad. It was like when you go to Costco and there's a bunch of exposed ductwork, and it's all terrible. And so, it's the gayest thing ever. Jim McGinley's like, yesterday he's like, we're going to Bed Bath & Beyond. They're having a sale on curtains. Let's go. And I'm like, all right. And so because we needed curtaining for the back of the studio, and I wanted to be there to kind of make sure that it looked decent.
Oh, that's why you guys were curtain shopping. I was wondering. It was a little bizarre yesterday.
It's because we're going to move in. Yes. What other possible reason would I be curtain shopping with Jeff McGinley for?
I don't know, Rick.
Seriously.
You don't make a lot of sense sometimes.
I am a dirty, dirty boy, apparently. So I didn't get a photograph of this. But I do have to say that one of the most surreal images probably anybody in... It was sort of by and it was kind of like the Cedar Hills area, is because we didn't have our station vehicle. The station vehicle was off being, I don't know, they were tweaking it or polishing it or waxing it or something. So we didn't have the AM 970 truck to drive, so we drove the KUFO Hummer. Wait, I'm sorry. I wasn't even prepared for that one. And blah, 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 Hummer.
I barely knew her.
All right. So we're driving the KUFO Hummer. Jeff McGinley and I driving the KUFO Hummer to Bed Bath & Beyond to buy curtains. And I wish somebody had taken a photograph of it, of just us walking in. And it's just a huge Bed Bath & Beyond, but then it's like the biggest vehicle you've ever seen in your life that parked out front. So really just a surreal thing on all fronts. So the curtain, so the studio is great. And we're going to have the mystery guest. The mystery guest will not be in the studio and or on the show tomorrow, but the mystery guest will probably be spending at least part of Friday with us. So the mystery guest will be unveiled tomorrow during Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, which is happening tomorrow, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. And then the mystery guest will be spending part of it, because the studio just kind of looked a little unfinished. And so these photographs, like you look at those photographs of the Rockstar Supernova people, and in the background there's just kind of some bad tack happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, before we talk to Lisa Goddard.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's please welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J.
It's Scotty J.
Why,
good
hello, sir.
Morning.
How are you today?
Super rested. I feel great.
You know what you are? You're kind of like George Costanza. You're like that episode of Seinfeld where George decided to do the opposite of whatever his first impulse was because his instincts were always wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's what you are. Like when you say you're having a decent day, it usually means you're having a good day. When you say you're having a great day, it means you wish you were dead. I mean, you really have. You've been a pretty easy nut to crack in that regard.
I think you've figured me out, Mr. Right. Emerson.
It's true. Are you wearing a mesh shirt again today?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Does your body need to breathe in some fashion?
He's a little sweaty and doesn't want to talk about it.
Are you sweaty? Are you sweaty and disheveled?
No, as far as
are you sweating
goes,
alcohol and pain?
No. I'm one of those guys that grabs whatever's laying in the hamper right there. That's what
do you smell
out
it?
Of the dirty hamper?
No, it's a clean hamper.
Okay.
The stuff never makes it to the dresser.
I think there's just one hamper in Scotty's household. Just everything goes into one big pile. Everything goes into one big stack.
Yeah, he's having to sniff clothes to see if they're clean.
All right. Well, with the amount of Febreze...
And then neither of us say anything because we both know we did.
Well, what am I going to say? Like, this is clean, the shirt I'm wearing today? What? Really, honestly.
I mean,
honestly.
I have one earring on.
You're a sophisticated lady.
I don't know.
Where's your other earring?
I don't know.
And the one you've got is massive. It's hoopy.
It's a big hoop earring.
It's huge. Where did the other one go to? Did you have it when you left the house?
Yes. I had both of them on, because sometimes I take it off when I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have no idea what I did with it.
Left it with the ball gag somewhere.
Might be in the car.
Okay, we need to stop that right now, Mr.
I'm not, you'll note that I didn't.
You just said the ball gag thing.
A day of dumping.
And now my friends are writing me saying, oh my God, that does look like you.
Well, it's a compliment. They found her hot enough to put on a porn site.
Now, I don't know if you said this because I wasn't listening, but if she makes copies of that picture, listeners want her to sign it.
Okay.
That's what they called in and said this. So.
I was going to ask you something, but now I think we have to talk to Lisa Goddard, which is just well, because you're veering things in an unpleasant direction. Can you hang? You don't have to go in here. Stay here. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live in Blacksburg, Virginia, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa. How you doing today?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
You know, I guess it is all relative, and I mean, it's... I don't know how much has changed since the last sort of batch of news I heard about this, although I do now know that, what is it, 7 different schools in different places in the country, including Lewis and Clark, which is right here in Portland, have now either had lockdowns, shutdowns,
mm-hmm.
threats, or arrests. They found a guy mm-hmm. with an ammunition belt full of bullets or whatever, full of cartridges, here in Portland today. So this is a thing that has triggered a bunch of copycats already across the country.
Yeah, and they were warning about that from the very beginning. Virginia police, and also we saw some officials in Washington say, we've got to have the nation ready for this kind of copycat events that they expected. And, you know, and it's funny because there's been those legitimate potential copycat incidents, and there's also been a sign of how much people are just unnerved here in Blacksburg at the county courthouse. They actually had to shut down and get everyone out of the building after one employee heard some ticking, and it turned out to be like a Coke machine. You know, and so everyone is just really on edge, And I think that we're seeing that result as well.
Is it, now, am I making this up, or is this a thing that actually, that I heard somewhere last night? They think this guy, the shooter at Virginia Tech, phoned in some bomb threats last week to test the security at the campus?
Yeah, let me, this is where we're getting everything kind of confused, I think. Yeah, people have been saying that, but we don't have any official reason to believe it. The deal is that apparently at the scene of the shooting, North Hall, where the 30 people were killed along with the gunman, they found, they did find a bomb threat that they think was related to those shootings. So they think maybe there's a bomb threat. They're kind of implying that this guy, Sung Hui Cho, wrote this bomb threat. But the fact is that there were two other bomb threats within the past 2 weeks to Virginia Tech, and officials are not saying that those are connected. So it's just, there's just been a lot of bomb threats going on, and there were two others at two other buildings on campus, and they're not saying if they're connected or not. People are theorizing, well, maybe he was testing out the security, who knows, but we really don't know if they were connected at all.
Have they officially ruled out a second suspect?
Sure would be much easier if they did, wouldn't it? Because then right now we have to keep talking about this one gunman as the shooter in one hall, and we don't know for sure he was the shooter in the other. No, they haven't given us that word yet. We've got a news conference coming up in an hour and 15 minutes. We're hoping that at that point they can finally say, yes, we know he was the shooter in both shootings. But at the same time, they're saying we have no other suspects. We don't think anyone else. There's no one specific that we think was involved. We're just following every lead, making sure that we can attach this man to both shootings. But they've attached, as we talked about yesterday, they attached one gun, a Glock that he purchased, to both shootings. So, you know, it seems logical, but officials are being very careful.
I don't want to, and I'm not going to overdo it on the editorializing at this point, but there's been a lot of discussion about, well, he's, you know, people said there were warning signs and he was giving off signals that he might be dangerous or unstable or whatever. Right. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff. It does seem like this is only clear in retrospect. And it doesn't seem like anything that they pointed out about this guy.
Right.
There's really not. I mean, there's probably scores of people at every school, every business, every city block in this country, people who seem disgruntled or own a gun at some point. I wonder if maybe everybody's rushing to judgment a little too quickly, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but rushing to judgment because it doesn't really seem like there's anything you could have done about this guy.
That's the question everyone's asking. The English department clearly went out of its way. They separated it from a classroom. The professor of that class said, listen, he's intimidating to my students. I feel that he is a disturbed student and he needs help. I don't want him in my classroom because of this. They separated him. They created sort of an independent study with the department chairman just for him because she said, I want to see if I can reach this kid. I want to find out what's going on. She continually asked him to seek counseling, but she says she doesn't know if he did, that he was essentially kind of an empty soul, that there was sort of almost an absence there. He was unresponsive in general, very hard to get through. So, you know, could they have done more? Could they have contacted his parents, tried to force him to go to counseling? I don't know. We know that he did have to seek some mental health counseling after two women reported him for allegedly stalking them. Police took him to a counseling center, and he was there for maybe a day or two. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think hindsight is always 20/20. It's so hard to say. I think there are a lot of students, especially, you know, once you hit teenage years all the way through college, there's a lot of anger and emotion. There's a lot of people that write some crazy stuff just trying to provoke emotion. And how do you separate those students who are just trying to be provocative and test the waters from a student like this one who really was dangerous?
And it's, you know, and not to get down a different path, but there was a long article that Newsweek did, I don't know, about 6-8 months ago, something like that, about Columbine. It was sort of this Columbine, the last word kind of an article. And they talked about the two kids, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, and they noted that Harris, of the two of them, they said that Dylan Klebold just seemed like he was, not to minimize it, but going through a very troubled time and a very bad phase, and just, you know, and his, you know, and he had all this normal teenage angst that was really fed by Eric Harris and really exacerbated. But they noted that in the opinion of every shrink, every psychoanalyst, everybody who had analyzed Eric Harris at the time when he was alive and now in retrospect, they said that that kid, you know, to paraphrase, they said that he was just gone. There was nothing. He was beyond. There's people who were just, I think, kind of broken, and there's nothing you can do about it. So that's, I mean, I'm not...
You wonder, right? But then how do you as a society decide that if someone's never made a violent action, then it gets... And they haven't made a threat. Like in the case of this gunman, I've read his, you know, the two plays that are posted. Some of your listeners probably read them too. You know, and they were just very juvenile.
Terribly written.
Yeah, they were awful. They were really bizarre in that, and you really are thinking this. You know, I think there was one post on AOL saying this was a college kid, you know, and everyone kind of got in on that conversation. But you do think that, geez, what? How old was this guy? Because this is so
adolescent. It wasn't really like you were surveying the collected works of Chekhov or anything. So.
No, it wasn't. You know, but then if you look, there obviously was like violence in there, but it wasn't. A lot, like all the different characters had different anger and different. It was all just muddled, and it wasn't as though there was clearly. In the one play, it seemed like they were clearly targeting the teacher, but I don't know. There wasn't an overt threat to anyone specifically in his life.
Right.
You know. So I don't know. I don't know. It's very tricky. But I think over this next year, I think students who have any kind of psychiatric problems, I think on campuses they're going to be much more closely watched.
Well, I say this, and again, this is, and I say this remark only because I, for a long time, was one of those kids that wore a lot of black and was really angry and seethed a lot, and you know, and just, right. was just really pissed off at everything. And if you're one of those,
we would not have been friends, by the way. I think, like,
what
I would, you would have hated me.
Sad thing to say.
No, I mean, you would have hated me. I would have been an annoying.
Why would I have hated you?
I think I was a little too poly. I was a little more Pollyanna.
Well,
a little more disgusting, a little more. I wanted to be the cool black wearing kids, but I wasn't.
A little more disgusting. Fantastic. We'll just take it out on that. I guess, you know, as I said, I guess everybody's just kind of got to grit their teeth and get through this psychologically for the next however long. So I'm sure we will talk to you in the near future. I won't say enjoy the rest of your day, but make the best of it, I guess.
Okay, you too.
Lisa
Thanks,
Goddard,
Rick.
There you go. Lisa Goddard in Virginia. All right, it's 503-733-2970. The point I was going to make is if you're a kid who wears, I don't care whether he was, I don't care that he was Asian, I don't care that he was not a goth, I don't care if he was, what was he majoring in? Do we know he was an English major? Was that the deal? Well, whatever. All I'm going to say is this, if you're a kid who wears a lot of black and hates people, your life is going to suck a whole lot from now on, so just get used to that. So you're going to have other stuff to be pissed off at, which is even more teachers and administrators like crawling up your ass than you ever had before, so enjoy that. Scotty J.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I was just going to real quickly. Is it true that you went to bed last night at midnight?
Yeah, about 12:15 or so.
What time did you fall asleep?
I think right around, I want to say 3:30 or 4.
And why? Why so nervous? Or as Winona Ryder would say, hey, why so tense?
Well, the reality is this. I'm thinking about songs that would, you know...
You're agonizing over your
party. And you know what? This isn't the first time I've done that, but I think of, that one would sound good going into this song.
Is it fair to say that your entire reputation is riding on this? Your entire self-image is riding on the listener party DJ set tomorrow?
No.
I think it is, Scotty. I think someone's in denial. Okay. This email says, hey, Rick, pleased to be asking Scotty J what his favorite drink is. I would love to buy him a drink to help calm his nerves.
Oh, or, see, there you go, Scotty.
That's nice.
Or, as they wrote, to help clam his nerves. There will be no drink buying for Scotty until after 9 o'clock, by the way. you're not going to be buying... Don't be buying Scotty any drinks. And if people buy you drinks before 9...
Stack them up.
You're not... You set them on a rail somewhere and don't drink them. What is your favorite drink, Scotty? Drink of choice.
I've kind of changed from Crown to Johnny Walker Black and Coke.
Why don't you just pick the most expensive... Why don't you pick Johnny Walker Blue while you're at it?
I'd like to.
The expensive thing you possibly can.
Moving up to that.
All right. All right, Scotty J, thank you. All right, take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, just 6 minutes away, kids. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970, just in case you're wondering. Dear Abby is still alive, although she suffered from severe Alzheimer's for a long time. Her twin sister, who wrote the Ann Landers column, died 4 years ago. Dear Abby's daughter, Janine Phillips, writes the column now under the Dear Abby name. That's from Bruce Agnes, of course. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please gather around the wireless and pay heed? He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, there's got to be a lot of stuff going on, particularly with people walking around with fake ammo belts. Apparently, that's what happened at Lewis and Clark. The guy was taken into custody this morning after he brought in or was wearing an ammunition belt.
Was it real?
It was just a decorative belt and did not contain live ammunition.
How about we give you a decorative beating, ass?
Began around 9:15 this morning when a staff member reportedly saw a white male, which is a rarity at Lewis and Clark.
And Rich, those are the ones you really got to watch out for anyway, let's be honest.
Wearing an ammunition belt on the 4 Acres campus. The ammunition belt was described in the email as holding about 50 pounds of ammunition. Students who received the email shortly after 10 this morning were told to stay at their current locations until they received a further email. They were told not to confront the man. Good idea. And it said, please go about your business. Other than that, about 10 minutes later, students received a follow-up stating that the person of interest was apprehended and the decorative ammunition belt was confiscated. The person was identified as a Lewis and Clark student who was taken into custody by campus safety officers.
Did they give his name?
No.
All right. Well, whatever.
That wasn't real, but it's in poor taste to wear such a thing in school these days.
I'm all for screwing with the system. I really am. There's certain things.
Except for today.
Certain things that get you an instant groin punching.
Right.
And that's one of them.
Monday, maybe.
Yes. I mean, it really is too soon. It's too soon.
So that's that.
I hardly knew her.
We'll get to the other shooting stuff in a couple of minutes, but first, a couple more local things. A 20-year-old man has been arrested for driving 130 miles an hour on I-5.
Well, he's done.
He said he was just being followed by a friend racing him. And that's what happened. Believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
He's driving a Subaru, which went 130 miles an hour. A Subaru.
Well, and I'm trying to get past the fact that a man was seen driving a Subaru.
That is true.
Typically, if you're driving a Subaru, it's because you're being chased by the rest of your field hockey team.
Mm-hmm. The deputy paced the car at 130 miles an hour. Apparently, he told the deputy that it was his friend behind him, and they race up into work.
Who races in a Subaru? What job? Let's try to get to the Home Depot as soon as possible. What kind of exciting job are you racing to work in a Subaru?
Well, he's anxious to get there, apparently.
I suppose. I can't wait to clock in! Fantastic. I got pulled over one time. I haven't pulled over a lot. I just sound like a feckless thug. I got pulled over one time because I was going a little bit over the speed limit, and it was late at night, and I see those lights in my rearview mirror, and then suddenly you start thinking like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters, and you're being stalked by something that's going to probe you, and so you start accelerating, and then the lights stay with you, and then you accelerate, and then the lights stay with you, and you're being tailgated, you know what's going on, and you feel like Dennis Weaver in Duel, and you don't know what the hell to do. And then it turns out, of course, you can see the punchline of this coming a mile away. The headlights in my rearview mirror are a cop who's pacing me. But of course, the only reason I was speeding was it was like on some windy country road, and I was trying to get away from a guy that I thought was going to rape and kill me. So, I mean, I thought I was being pursued by some sort of biker gang or something, somebody in a car, and that it is the actual cop who is prompting me to speed. That whole business, I'm not trying to pick a fight with police, but that whole business about cops pacing you just seems ridiculous. Because if you operate under the assumption that a car going 130 miles an hour is dangerous, it stands to reason, and if there's two of them, because he's racing his equally knuckleheaded friend, it stands to reason that having three cars going at a cumulative speed of 390 miles an hour down the road might be a bad idea. Why don't you just let a traffic camera take him out, okay? Just, just worry about the pacing with something else.
Following story.
Your microphone
again.
How does that happen in this? Here's the thing. In the Mac studio, it was positioned so that you could lean forward and turn it off. How does your microphone getting turned off happen in this studio?
It has some Alzheimer's related things.
it's a rebelling. The microphone has its sentient being, has its own thought. Okay.
I'll be lying in my hospital bed on life support looking for the microphone button.
That's true.
Good point.
Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about what you'll be like someday when you have Alzheimer's? Not you specifically, but in general.
No, I do think about that.
You specifically?
Me specifically, yes.
Okay. I think about that too, actually. Not you, but me. I do sit and wonder about what I'm going to be like when I have... I wonder what I'm going to die from, and then I wonder what I'll be like when I'm dying from it. So, as a risk... This is a peppy... Let's back up and not continue this conversation. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a teacher plays naked dodgeball with the boys.
Who are you?
This happened in Silverton. A former teacher at Pratham Elementary School in Silverton has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. Mark Gold admitted to having abused more than 19 boys over the years, staging games of naked dodgeball when he was the only adult present. Having shown... Oh, this gets even worse.
Okay.
And I'm reading a news story.
Okay, let's stop here for a second. This is in Silverton?
Yes.
Well, that's disheartening because I love Silverton. That's one of my favorite places on earth.
There are a couple of bad eggs here and there.
Well, I suppose. Silverton is great. Silverton is a beautiful place. That is a beautiful little town. It's like our own little Stars Hollow. So that's depressing. And this is what? This is a teacher playing naked dodgeball with his... How old were they?
Let's see. More than 19 boys over the year. Staging games of naked dodgeball when he was the only adult present.
Who would agree to play naked dodgeball?
I don't know.
I mean,
but he was also sentenced to showing numerous boys how to masturbate and having naked hot tub parties for them.
Yeah, okay.
I told you, this has kind of a certain ick factor to it.
It really does. Naked dodgeball just seems like that's like playing naked lawn darts. I don't even really understand the appeal of that.
Well, that's right. Silverton.
And really, how old are the boys we're talking about here?
Let's see here.
I really question that any teenage boy needs to be shown how to masturbate. I'm simply speaking as a pundit.
This is a country town.
Life is simpler there. Masturbation less frequent. Okay. Are we done with that story?
We are. We're going to move back to the national stuff now.
Let's talk to Cox. I swear to God, Cox is on line one. Hi. Hello, sir.
On there, bud.
Hi. What's up?
Your little thing about Subaru being a wussy car?
I never said that.
Well, basically, you did. You ever seen a WRX STI?
I actually drove one of those, to be fair.
Okay.
You drove
a Focus, remember.
Okay, there's no need to...
Hey, I'm just saying, buddy.
I never said it was a wussy car. I said that in my experience...
Lincoln's
come with both barrels.
Oh, man.
As only a Subaru driver can. I didn't say it was...
I don't even drive a Subi, dude.
I don't call it a Subi. Here's the thing. I actually drove a WRX for a couple weeks, and it was amazing. I mean, that car.
It's a stout little car, ain't it?
And that car, I mean, it was really amazingly. It had an amazing amount of pickup to it. I will say that. I was not saying that Subarus are wussy cars. I'm simply saying that in my experience, Subarus are.
I've sat driven... shotgun in a really fast Subaru, so that's your thing.
I'm sure it goes. I'm not saying that it's not that it's a. It just seems like two things. A, again, it's typically a female car in my experience. B.
No, Mustangs are female cars.
Well, I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm okay. Just going to leave it. I'm just not. There's no point.
Are white trash, too.
Moving forward, B, it just seems like if you're a car guy, if you're a guy who's really into cars, like you're, look at my car, you're not going to go buy a Subaru. That's my only point.
If you're a car guy, the only Subaru you would buy is a WRX.
If you're a car guy on a fixed income.
Dude, those things are $40,000 cars.
All right, I'm done talking about Subarus, really. It's so, they're okay. So disproportionate.
Has Virgil even built back up
something
from the past
in
hour?
The water? Yeah, there's something. There's something weird out there today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big crazy week. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Paula Abdul is being accused of diva-like behavior in a recent flight. She demanded first-class passenger service from Southwest Airlines. The only problem is
from Southwest.
They don't have first class on Southwest.
No, there's one class, and you're all in it together. Look, I love Southwest. I fly Southwest because I am a miser. Mm-hmm. I am a skinflint. I am cheap. I am a penny pincher, and that's why I fly Southwest. And I'm not ashamed of that. But you know what? When you fly Southwest, that's what you get. It is a
Greyhound of airlines.
It is a no frills flight, and I am fine with that. And you know the thing about the thing about flying Southwest that's great is it's like swinging three bats in the warm-up circle. When you finally then fly like Alaska, it's just like the lap of luxury. When you finally fly somewhere where they'll give you some food to eat, you say, oh, thank God there's food. I can extend my legs. I can walk. And it's just, it's like you've been healed of a tremendous ailment. It's fantastic. I fly Southwest all the time. What is Paula Abdul doing flying Southwest?
That is a good question, isn't it?
Yeah. What is that? Do they just let you drink on that flight now? Is that the thing you just booze up?
She was flying from San Jose to Burbank.
Interesting. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, is Mark, well, it's not Mark Burnett, whoever produces that show, is that American Idol just that cheap?
Maybe so. They're thrifty.
All right. Who? Who's thrifty?
American Idol.
Oh, I thought you meant.
No.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea what's going on here.
Here's Tim Riley. Okay, back to the national stuff.
But
it doesn't involve anybody shooting anybody else.
Well, it's these are people who know people who shoot others.
All right. People who know people who shoot others are the loneliest people of all.
A Maryland teen who shared her dorm room, the suspected gunman, is speaking out. And it takes him 18 seconds to do so. He said that he and Cho Shengwei lived in the same place, but he hardly knew him.
He pretty much never talked at all. I tried to make conversation with him earlier in the year when he moved in, like asking him, you know, the general questions like, what's your major and like, what year are you?
Do you plan
trying
to kill
to,
me?
Just carry on a conversation or whatever, and he would just give one-word answers and stay quiet. And pretty much he never looked me in the eye.
That's pretty much like the majority of Americans.
And I would say...
In any given place at any time.
And probably the majority of college students, too. In fact, I would say that probably the majority of people who work at CBS Radio would have the same description of any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Really. What about that Tim Riley? Well, I don't know. He seemed to avoid contact... This is kind of creepy now that I think about it. Really, I wonder...
Well, it is true.
I wonder how many traits shared by mass murderers and serial killers can be applied to members of the Rick Emerson cast and crew. That's kind of...
The vast majority.
I would say almost all of them.
Mm.
Scotty, see if there's a serial killing and or mass murderer checklist for social behaviors. I'm willing to bet that we match almost all of those traits. Probably not serial killers so much as mass murderers.
Mm.
I would bet that we're almost a perfect sync with that.
Meanwhile, the Virginia Tech Police Chief Wendell Flincham says his department had had contact with Cho Shengwei in the fall of 2005. Flincham said a female student accused Cho of stalking her through instant messages. He said officers received a call from an acquaintance of Cho who was concerned that Cho might be suicidal.
I was concerned for Cho. Officers asked him to speak to a counselor. He went voluntarily to the police department. Based on that interaction with the counselor, a temporary detention order was obtained, and Cho was taken to a mental health facility.
It was a lady who complained.
In November of 2005, Cho had made contact through phone calls and in person with a female student. The student notified the Virginia Tech Police Department, and officers responded. The student declined to press charges and referred to Cho's contact with her as annoying.
Well, okay. And so these are not women he was dating. These are just women he fancied.
Yeah, apparently on, what do you call that, instant MySpace or whatever those kids play on?
It was just a whole lot of, it was just a whole lot of texting and a whole lot of creepily, you know. I wonder if he was that guy that just sat in the cafeteria and just stared at you relentlessly with an unblinking fixed gaze from across the room like the Hypnotoad, just staring at you, just thinking that was somehow... I remember I went through that phase, though, not so much the killing phase, but the phase of the... I don't think I was creepy as such, but I remember going through that phase... I was creepy. I remember going through that phase, though, as a teenager of not knowing how to talk to a girl, and then you assume, probably correctly, actually, that the girl is just... The girls in at your age are just as confused and just weird and hormone-addled and just freaky and crazy as you are and just mixed up and don't know what the hell they're doing. But girls mask it a lot better. Boys are so terrible. That's the thing is, boys are terrible at masking the fact that they're just crazy. Girls can sort of mask it with this sort of veneer of etiquette. And so I would just be like, hello, my name's Rick, and I... And I would just sit in the classroom and just stare. Because I didn't know what to do. And I wasn't staring like, I'm going to put your head in a bowling bag stare. It was a lot of like, well, I really like you a lot. If only you could read my thoughts and know how fond I am of you. You know, and that's it. But instead it was just sad. I would just sit there. And then the girls would get up and they would walk off with some guy who had actually, you know, spoken to them. And, had been nice. So that's the lesson many boys don't learn.
Meanwhile, Chief Flincham said Cho became...
Chief Flincham sounds like he ought to have been having an affair with Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, the good chief says that Cho became suicidal after a second woman complained about Cho.
She made a complaint to the Virginia Tech Police Department and asked that Cho have no further contact with her. Officers followed up the next morning and spoke with Cho concerning this matter. Later that day, our department received a call from an acquaintance of Cho's who was concerned that Cho might be suicidal.
By the way, we're not talking about Margaret Cho, in case you're just joining us. This is a different Cho.
Or Cho Chang in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Chief Flincham said a teacher who spoke to authorities about Cho's disturbing writing tried to do something.
The chair of the English department, Dr. Lucinda Roy, informally shared her concerns regarding Cho and his course writing assignments. The writings did not express any threatening intentions or allude to any criminal activity. No criminal violation had taken place.
They should have asked Lucinda Bassett for the Midwest Center for Health and Anxiety. She could have helped him.
That's true. Let's meander over to the Roanoke Gun Shop, shall we? Apparently, the owner of the gun shop, John Markle, said he feels terrible that Cho bought a gun from his shop.
Interesting. I was already just torn up over the tragedy itself. Found out that the gun came from here. I don't believe I'm responsible, but at the same time, it just makes me feel terrible that he used one of our guns.
If you just, I mean, if you're a guy who sells guns for a living, and again, I pass no judgment. It doesn't matter to me what people buy. I don't care. Just don't point it at me. But, I mean, the reality is, if there's certain kind of products, like, I think about this a lot. Here's the thing I think about. I think about people who work in rubber factories, like Trojan, like condom factories. That's got to be a... Because you see those factories where it's not all done by machine. Like, a lot of times it's like gloved workers, and they're taking, like, a rubber, and they're stretching it over a phallic object to extend it, and then it gets rolled back up by machine and put in a package. And that's got to be a weird sensation. You know, as they go by in a blur, thousands of condoms going by you every day, you got to sit and just, I wonder if you ruminate in your head, like, what if you try to break out, like, a percentage of what percentage of these are going to be used for what, just to sort of keep yourself mentally alert while you're on the assembly line. So while you're creating different products and while you're working or selling different products, it's got to be strange to sort of imagine what's going to happen. Like, when you sell somebody cigarettes, and again, I don't pass any judgment. I mean, if you want to smoke, that's your funeral, friend, and probably the funeral of anybody who lives with you, or who you spend a lot of time with, or any children you might be pregnant with. They'll just be deformed. But if you smoke,
or taking time out of their lives for years and years to take care of you in the hospital, and you'll never get better.
Standing over you while you wheeze a death rattle in an intensive care unit of a cancer ward.
Merry Christmas.
My friends have two parents.
If you sell somebody cigarettes, you're some guy. I used to, when I worked at a 7-Eleven, I used to think this. Guys would come in and they buy cigarettes, and it was a weird sensation to be selling somebody a product that was going to kill them.
You're merchants of death.
Exactly. I felt cancer merchant. I felt a little weird about it. I didn't feel guilty as such, because whatever, I don't care.
It's a convenience store.
It was strange, though, because it's like there was this one guy, I'll never forget this guy, and I will, like all things, we'll tie this back into the shooting here just a second, but there was this guy, this British guy, who would come in every morning when I was working at 7-Eleven, and he would buy Benson Hedges in the green, and I think that's mint or menthol or whatever. He would buy a green box of Benson Hedges, which he called Benson Edge.
That's kind of like their Marlboros over there.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's their most popular brand there. If you go into the pubs, they're all smoking Benson Hedges.
And that's what this guy, he'd come in and go, Benson Edge, green pack, you know, or whatever. And I'd be like, all right, there you go. You know, $14 or whatever a pack of cigarettes costs. And he'd be like, all right, you know, jolly good. This is some British thing. And then he would leave. And I saw this guy every day. And I worked at that 7-Eleven for like 6 months. And I mean, a pack a day, 5 days a week. That's what, 26? I saw my guy, 180. That's 1,800, that's 3,600 cigarettes. That's 3,600 minutes off your life.
And it's a very expensive habit as well.
Yeah, that's like 60 hours off your life. And I remember thinking how weird it is I'm selling this guy a product that, when used properly, will kill him. And so it's got to be strange to work in a gun store. Because when you work in a gun store, even if you operate under the assumption that everybody who comes to buy a gun is going to use it for a legal purpose, which we all know is not the case, because this guy, Cho, bought a gun legally March 13th, and he clearly had killing on his mind. So it's got to be weird to work at a gun store and to realize that, like, any number of the people that you are selling these to are going to do something bad. And even if they're not, even if everybody who comes to a gun store is planning on using the gun for hunting and target shooting. Which is,
on the fox hunt.
Yeah, exactly, which is what they all say. No, I'm a sportsman. For hunting deer who are wearing Kevlar. But it's weird to think that when you sell a guy a gun, even if he's using it legally, like to defend his family or whatever, you sell a guy a pistol, that the odds are X percent that that gun is going to end up being used to shoot someone, like, in the chest, which is just a weird feeling. It's got to be strange to work there and to be selling products
that are specifically, and in the case of pistols, let's just be honest and call a spade, those aren't hunting implements, and most people are not using them for target shooting or to go to gun shows. Handguns, and I'm not an anti-gun person, but handguns, pistols, are designed to kill people. That's what they're designed to do. You can say it's in self-defense, and that's fine, but they're designed to kill people. So, it's not even bad, but it must kind of screw with your head to be a guy who works at a gun shop. They must think about that from time to time. I'm not saying they should feel guilty about it, but it is an odd way to make a living when you think about it. What do you do? I sell implements of death. And it's just strange.
Well, this gun shop owner says Cho was not a suspicious customer.
There's nothing unusual about the sale. He didn't act fidgety or... He just acted normal.
All right. I mean, even... I don't think... And I would be curious to know this. Now, maybe someone, I'm looking, let me just see who's calling here. Somebody's calling? You act all surprised. Now, I'm looking and seeing if any of these calls are about gun stores, because I suspect them might be. Yeah, they are indeed. Okay, I'll get a couple of these gun store calls in a second, Scotty. Because I really am curious to know a couple of things. First of all, that guy, what does he say? He's not jittery or fidgety. That was his thing, right?
Just nothing unusual about the sale. He didn't act fidgety or... He just acted normal.
As a side note, does the computer seem to be working today? I mean, sure. I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, knock wood, is the computer actually operating properly?
I believe so,
okay.
Yes.
So in Oregon... I mean, is it like a we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody thing? Because I never know whether that's real or not when they put that up in a store. Like when at a restaurant, when they say we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody, they can't really do that, can they?
Yeah, it's private property.
Is that true?
Of course, it's private property.
Can a restaurant in Oregon, and of course, you know, and I'm just speaking speculatively, but could a restaurant in Oregon say, well, I'm sorry, we're not serving white people today. You'll have to leave.
Yes.
They could do that legally.
I've assumed so. I mean, they can't come out and say it. They could tell somebody to leave without giving a reason for it.
So they could just turn away white people all day if they felt like it?
Sure.
Interesting. So my thing is, at a gun store, and I guess maybe we can only talk about in Oregon, can you refuse to sell a guy a gun because he's just fidgety? I mean, I guess if it's a private store, I guess you can, right? I mean, I guess if it's not a government, it's not like a liquor store. I guess they're private businesses. So I guess... Even without, I mean, just on gut instinct, just a gut feeling, I wonder if you could refuse to sell a guy a pistol.
I would imagine.
If a guy came in and said, I need to buy a gun. You know, well, for what? Stop. Okay. Fill out this form. He passes the background check. And I don't even know what that amounts to in Oregon. I don't know anything about guns in Oregon, really. It's been so long since I was in the gun culture. If the guy passes the background test and he has no criminal record. And then the guy's like, okay, can I have my gun now? You know, if you can just say no for no readily apparent reason. All right. Well, Scotty's screening these gun calls, and then we'll get back to him. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently one Korean student at Virginia Tech, who is not related to this person, there can be more than one Korean at a college, and apparently there is at this one, who gave only his first name as John, a good old American name, expects people to be upset at Koreans for a while.
Even though it's not going to have, like, the backlash or something like a terrorist attack, I think that because it was an Asian person that did it, it'll definitely, like, there'll be some discomfort.
That's not true. Now, you know what the backlash is going to be, and not even accurately. You know what, like, idiot Sean Hannity and those guys will do. It's not that he was an Asian. It's that he was here on a visa. That's the thing. And he was here for 15 years. I don't even understand what that's about. Like, isn't a visa temporary? I mean, I guess you could renew it forever, but I thought a visa, like, ran out at a certain point. Like, a decade and 15 years, man. I don't understand why he wasn't a citizen by now. So, that's the thing they'll seize on, though, is that, you know, are we granting visas to the wrong people? Bill O'Reilly will say angrily and with a mouthful of spit. Let's get a couple of these. All right, we've got gun stuff here. I'm just going to just take these as they came in. Ryan, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
I saw this thing on TV where down in Vegas there's a gun shop that you can rent the guns and take them to their own firing range that they have on site.
Is this a place where they have machine guns?
They do have machine guns there.
I've been there. I fired a Thompson submachine gun there.
Well, so the guy was talking about that sometimes people want to come in and they don't want to just shoot targets, so they bring in, like, pictures of people they know. And they said that they don't really They didn't really have a problem with it. They thought it was kind of unusual. They figured, hey, it's better than actually going to work and shooting your bosses. You shoot a picture of your boss.
Really? So they'll let you do that? You could take a picture of your ex-wife in and machine gun it up?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They said that one time this guy brought in a picture of himself.
Oh, that's creepy.
And they said they didn't know if it was him or if it was like his twin brother. But the guy said on camera, he goes, if he had asked to buy a gun, we would not have sold him one because they were a little worried about that one.
That's totally creepy. I want a machine gun, a picture of myself. Oh, that's creepy. I have, look,
that's
I have
low self-esteem.
he needs to get out more and he needs to breathe in the joy of life. Just cheer up. I encourage you, by the way, if you ever go to Vegas, I forget the name of the store, but go to that gun range/store. It's amazing. That place is so cool. I have at home, and I got to tell you this, this is hot. There's nothing hotter. My wife fired a fully automatic machine gun. There's nothing hotter than seeing a chick fire a fully automatic machine gun. I had the Thompson submachine gun. I forget what it is that Lara fired. I think Clyde was with us, too, which is sort of weird. There's me and my wife and Clyde. But where you go there, they have a whole rack of guns, pistols, machine guns, hunting rifles, semi-automatics, whatever. You pay the rental fee. They give you a crash course in how to shoot a gun. You sign a thing. They give you like a speed course in how to fire it. And then you go right down to the range in the basement. And yeah, for X dollars for X minutes, and then you can buy as many clips as you want, but it costs for each clip. And that Thompson submachine gun, which is the kind that has the round magazine, like Elliot Ness used to use on the Untouchables, I just fired like two or three clips of that right into a target. That is just the most satisfying sensation. You really ought to go to that place if you ever get the chance. It's amazing.
Well, one other thing, Rick, did you know that you can buy full auto in Oregon?
Is that now? I understood that you
can own full auto.
I thought you could buy semi-automatic and convert to full automatic.
No, converting a semi is illegal.
Oh, don't do that.
You can own the kits, and they have kits online that you can buy and everything.
You just can't use them.
You can own them, but it's illegal to use them, the kind of thing, but. They do have full auto guns that you can buy.
At one time, actually, if you're a long-time listener, and this is something we'll have on display at the listener party, by the way, if you are a long-time listener, you will know that we had a client, Fairly Honest Don's Machine Gun Parlor, and a guy who sold fully automatic weapons. We gave away, unbelievably, we gave away a contest at one point for a listener who got to go fire a belt-fed M60 into a swamp up in Tillamook. But I thought after 9/11 they made that illegal. I didn't think you could do that after 9/11.
No, I was at a gun show about 2-3 months ago, and they had full auto there. That
excellent.
All you gotta do is you pay an extra $200 on top of the regular background check, and it's what they call it a transfer fee, and that's all it takes. You sit there and you can get your full auto. So,
interesting.
And they had full auto M16s there at the gun show.
Weird. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah,
there you go. I forget the name of this. Let me do one more quickly, and then we'll break. I forget the name of this place, but yeah, if you're a gun enthusiast, go to this store in Vegas. I'll try to figure out the name of it. Ask them about their exciting deal on Thompson submachine guns. It really is pretty amazing. Let's see. I wish I could remember what Lara fired. It was some big ass gun that shot like 1,000 rounds a second. Just some unbelievable gun. Let's see, Luke. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
There it is. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, you were talking about how easy it was to get a gun in Oregon.
Yeah.
And I went into a pawn shop a year ago just to see what it would take to get one. I was like, yeah, let me get that one. They picked out a 9mm. And when the background check consisted of them calling the state police and saying my name and saying male, Caucasian. Oh, okay, and they hung up. It was that fast. That was a background check.
And had you ever been arrested for anything in your life?
No. I believe anyone with money and without a certain type of felony can get one.
Really? Is that? I ought to go see how long it'll take me to buy. Tim, we should totally do this, an investigative report. We should just walk into a gun store on the air and see how long it'll take me to buy a gun. And I should act real twitchy while I'm doing it.
It literally took me about, 5 minutes to get a gun and walk out.
Really?
I was shooting within an hour. I went over to Bymar, bought some bullets. We were shooting within an hour.
You can be shooting within an hour.
Yes.
All right. Great. Thanks, Luke. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go.
But it could be part of Oregon's frontier heritage.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The settlers had to protect themselves.
Of course.
From people who were trying to take their land away.
Can I buy a musket, please? I wonder if I could buy a musket. I wonder if you can buy one of those. One that just put the big ball in the end of it, like on the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That thing where you have to use the horn filled with powder. You have to tamp it down. Rabbit season, fire! It's 503-733-2970. Isn't that the thing that Elmer Fudd uses? Where he's like tamping down the... Do they even make those? Is that even a real weapon, or is that a thing that Warner Brothers just created? All right.
Of course the musket's real.
Not the musket, but that thing that... Or I guess I'm conflating two different cartoons now. There's that word again. All right. This guy. I bought a gun with no ID on Foster. Fantastic. Well, we'll take your call next, sir. You stay right there. And then we'll talk to... we got a lot of gun culture, so we'll... It is the Great Pacific Northwest, where liberty is king. We'll come back. We'll get Steve and your phone calls as well. If you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get to you just a few. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. You stay right there. Team player and all, but come on.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
It was tempting just to toss some six-pack rings into the ocean while we were driving it, you know what I mean? Just, while we're driving, I noticed pour motor oil into the ground. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Don't forget, we are now just 30 hours away. From Listener Party 10, Emerson History X happening tomorrow, 7 p.m., Barracuda, 9 Northwest 2nd. No minimum, no cover, no nothing. Just be 21 and be there, featuring music by Emerson Starship. Emerson Starship has added a mystery song, a secret song, to their set list for tomorrow, which is going to be fan-freaking-tastic. A small step by our friend Hit Me Baby, that's happening tomorrow. A mystery guest who is being flown in for the occasion, a special introductory video, greetings from former colleagues and old friends, and, of course, a cast and crew of thousands. By the way, if people have been emailing and asking us about the schoolgirl thing, and that's to be really, and I swear to God, we'll get back to the news of these calls here in a second, but it's a busy day. But we haven't had time to really stress the schoolgirl factor for two reasons. A, because there's been so much other stuff to talk about. We've had the museum thing. We've had the band thing. We've had the mystery guest thing. We've had the video we've been shooting. We've had all of this stuff that's going to be on display from the nearly 10 years that we've been doing the show. We have all the artifacts from the show's history. People have asked about schoolgirls. As always, we encourage all the female listeners of the show, and or men, if you're open-minded about that sort of thing, to come dressed as a schoolgirl. We pushed that for the longest time, and we didn't really mention it a lot so far this time because, A, we've had, as I said, all this other stuff to focus on, and, B, because it sort of established itself as a tradition. I think it's a thing that people just sort of understand, expect, and assume at this point. So, obviously, if you are a female listener, we encourage you to find your best schoolgirl outfit and wear that tomorrow, Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Tomorrow. Right now, it's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Truth, Truth.
Breaking news, both Joan and Melissa Rivers have been fired from the TV Guide channel.
Bam!
I think that's channel 2 and 3, they're in that little corner in the box.
Oh, that channel?
You can see them, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of E for a second. It's not E, it's the channel where it's like the tiny little 1-inch by 1-inch because it's all scrolling.
Yeah.
Who needs that at this point? Who, really? Who,
I don't know how to go to the TV Guide channel.
That's your channel.
I don't know what to watch.
You know, here's the thing I think about. You know what I was watching on this? Sound like a retard. You know what I was watching on the TV Guide channel the other day?
No. You said it was useless.
Not
something you really don't need.
And then?
You know, I saw John Henson on there once.
Who's that?
He's the guy who used to host Talk Soup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love
him. What was he doing?
He was hosting some, like, entertainment segment.
Oh, a little box in the corner.
Yeah.
I had such a crush on him. He was my favorite.
Well, this was not that. Because I am a nitwit, I actually was watching the TV Guide channel a while back. Not for the TV Guide thing either. I was watching a Rumpel Peel infomercial. It was like for some... And it's the same thing it's always for. It's for some knives. That's what it always is. And it's always the same thing.
Well, the world would be a better place if everybody had one.
It's him with a knife cutting through some nails and then slicing tomatoes whisper thin. Always. And the thing is, it shrunk to one corner of the screen because like 30% of the screen is taken up with the TV Guide listings. And I found myself wondering if those infomercials cost less. If it costs less to put your infomercial on the TV Guide channel. Because it might have more viewership, but on the other hand, it's going to be scrunched to the small corner of the screen. I love Rumpelpeel. I really do. I've got his autobiography, Salesman of the Century. Let's get this call from a guy who bought a gun with no ID on Foster. Please not to be telling us where this happened, but tell us your story, please.
How you doing, Rick?
Hi, what's up?
I wanted to go shopping. I wanted to buy a new shotgun, and I didn't want...
What happened to the old shotgun? Had to be melted down or hidden?
Yes, very specific. The judge was very specific. I wanted to buy a new shotgun, and I impulsively buy things that are too expensive. So I left my wallet at home, thinking, okay, there's no way I can buy something this way, right? I filled out a credit app, and they gave me a gun. I walked out of there with a $1,000 Weatherby shotgun on credit with no ID.
So you left your wallet at home as sort of a self-control mechanism so you wouldn't be able to buy anything expensive on impulse. And they didn't care. They just gave you a shotgun in exchange for some credit.
Yeah.
What now?
Yeah, it was their credit agency.
Now, don't tell us the place, but was this a major store or was this like an independent store?
It was an independent store.
All right, but it was sort of a self-owned establishment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a smaller shop. I mean, it wasn't...
That's insane.
Had you been there before? Did they recognize you?
No. No, it was... I mean, other than the fact that I have poor impulse control and I like to buy things...
That's exactly the kind of guy who should buy a shotgun, by the way, is somebody with poor impulse control.
Well, I mean, you know, there's...
It's a piece of weight!
I'm a guy who, you know, I mean, I like to hunt and things, and you know, and I don't own pistols for the exact reason that you were discussing earlier. You know, I mean, they're simply to kill people and blah blah blah. You know, but I mean, you know, it was really stunning to me that you can do that. Just walk in and say, I want to buy a gun. I have good credit. See you later.
Let me ask you this. What did they in any way, how do I put this? Did they have anything really other than your word to go on that you were who you said you were?
Absolutely not.
Jesus
no.
Christ.
I mean, it was very weird. I was shocked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a nice shotgun. But, you know, I mean, I guess, too, you know, I mean, the shotgun that I was buying, I mean, it's not the kind of thing where, you know, you walk in twitching going, you know, I'm really angry. You know, I mean... You know, I mean, I was buying an upper end, very nice gun. I mean, it was over $1,000. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it.
Well,
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was the same person around the cosmetics counter, and she was busy at the other place.
Yeah, seriously, she was selling garden hoses down there, and she was she was a little overwhelmed.
Jesus. Exactly. Well, there you go. That's all I know.
Thanks, sir. There you go. We'll see you tomorrow. Fantastic. Let's do one more, and then we'll continue with the news. Hi, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Rick, how's it going?
Hey, what do you got?
Hey, you know, they have machine gun shoots down in Albany every few months.
Are these sanctioned, or is this just when people get angry?
It's at the Albany gun club down there.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, actually. Albany's exactly the kind of place that has a thriving gun club community. That wouldn't surprise me.
We're the best on the West Coast for... being able to own anything. You can own anything here.
No, it is, and I mean this sincerely, the Northwest really is the land of the free and the home of the guys who own a million guns. That is true.
Excluding Multnomah County, they're kind of picky, but...
Well, outside of Multnomah County, it's a red state, though, so... Are we going to see you tomorrow, my friend, at Listener Party 10?
No, I got to work.
Oh, you're dead to me. That's it. Dead.
No more comic books for you, then.
You're not really dead to me. All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. Yep. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the popular Jerry Springer Show security guard Steve Wilkos is getting his very own talk show. The former police officer will be offering advice and talking about his version of criminal justice on a syndicated weekly program. He is amazed that his life has taken this turn.
My father was a policeman for 30 years, and, you know, he went to work and was a policeman, and now he's retired, and I really thought, you know, that's what I'm going to be doing. And how could you think, like, you're driving a squad car 1 minute, and then you're going to end up with your own TV show?
He was only supposed to be on Springer's show one day.
People started recognizing me, and then the more they recognized me and started emailing, they kept giving me more and more things to do. I started interviewing people, the guests, at the end of the show, walking down the hallway, then started doing a series called Steve to the Rescue within the Springer show, and then the last couple of years being co-host.
People love that guy. He's the co-host of that show now?
Yeah.
Weird. I haven't watched the Springer show in so long. I mean, there's a promo running around
talking
about
that. Yeah, I won't lie, though. I watched it, like, every day for, like, a summer, like, a full year of my life.
There was a time when Jerry Springer was the best thing in the world. I mean, it was so, but you know when that show went downhill? And this is like when Kerry Russell cut her hair. Here's when that show went downhill. It was about 7 or 8 years ago.
And it was like the Don Imus thing last week, where the media needed something to pick on, and it was a slow news week, and so they picked on Springer. They just found Jerry Springer, and they just beat that guy like a drum for like 10 days. And the Springer Show, what they eventually did is the Springer Show passed this rule that you wouldn't be allowed to hit anybody. that you would no longer be allowed to punch anybody square in the jaw. And so that guy Steve and his other crew, the security henchmen, they would step in, and they would separate you before you could swing on somebody. Which is too bad, and that's when that show went downhill, and it was never the same after that. Here's Tim Riley.
That is too bad. Well, a South Carolina woman claims smoking a cigarette actually saved her life. Brenda Comers of Rock Hill stepped outside her home to smoke a butt when she was done washing her dishes, as she often does, and deservedly so after completing that task. According to the Rock Hill Herald, seconds after walking out of the kitchen, an 80-foot oak tree crashed through the roof, landed right across the sink where she had been washing dishes. Monday's nearly 40-mile-an-hour winds apparently caused the tree to collapse. The tree created a hole that split the kitchen and living room, causing Comers' insurance claims to gesture to declare that home uninhabitable.
Smoke a butt.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Bill Clinton was here last night. You know that? He was speaking to an audience.
At the Schnitzer.
Yeah.
I had some people ask if he was a mystery guest, which is retarded. Quit asking that.
That is a good question.
It's not it's a ridiculous question. I mean, I guess it is a good question, but it doesn't make any sense.
It's really Barack Obama then.
Yes, exactly who it is. I swear to God that Barack is a character in Mortal Kombat. And maybe a geek in the house can clarify that for me. I'm pretty sure that Barack is a character in Mortal Kombat who has like a weird Bat Boy looking face. Like, you know, like the Bat Boy from the Weekly World News. He has like bat ears. And then he's got, like, hands that end up as, like, swords. I'm pretty sure that that's Barack in Mortal Kombat. Maybe someone can tell me about it. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, bills to protect gay and lesbian Oregonians from discrimination and get some of the benefits of heterosexual marriage passed the House on Tuesday. It'll go to the Senate. Some people were behind it, notably Republicans, such as Republican Dennis Richardson, who compares homosexuality to smoking, alcoholism, and drug addiction.
Thanks. Welcome to 1952, a-hole. All right. What do we got here? This is Connor. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. Oh, and I can clarify that there is a character named Baraka on Mortal Kombat.
Right.
He's got blades that come out of his arms, like, you know how Wolverine has spikes that come out of his hands?
His adamantium claws.
Yeah, he's got, like, big blades that come out of his arms.
All right, okay, and they sort of hook at the end.
They don't have a hook. They're like straight blades.
All right. I mean, it's been a long time since I've really played a lot of Mortal Kombat. Okay, cool.
Anyway, so I've got this story about selling guns. Now, I was up in, I was pretty young. My brother was 17 at the time. He just turned 17. We went up to Pendleton out in eastern Oregon, and he was looking out at a pawn shop, and you know, he's a guy. He was kind of eyeing this big, like, 44 Magnum, you know, real dirty, hairy gun. And he was just looking at it, and he's clearly underage. He's
right.
A kid, he's 17.
Right.
The shopkeeper looks at him like, oh, I like what you see there? Well, I can let you walk out of the door with it. I'll let you buy it today.
But he didn't even, I mean, you're saying he looked obviously underage.
Well,
it is Pendleton. I mean, it's Pendleton, though. I mean,
yeah.
to be fair, that's not like a bustling hub of intellect.
Nope.
You know. So, I mean, was he tempted? Was he like looking in his pockets to see if he had the cash?
No. He was just looking at it, but it's more of like the thing of, you know, just walking like, oh, hey, that looks really cool. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah. I mean, I get the feeling. I mean, I don't know, but I get the feeling that as much as we have gun laws and regulations in this country, that it's an incredibly porous thing. That, I mean, there's just a billion different ways and loopholes and methods. And then, or there, you just go to some hick town, some guy runs a pawn shop and just sells you something underneath the table for, you know, $200 or whatever. I would imagine it's startlingly easy to get a gun in this country. I mean, even if you're not, because it's like, if I was, and I'm not, but if I was going to be a criminal, there's always that thing in the movie where, like, I went out on the street and bought myself a cheap stick-up piece from a hood, you know, or whatever. I wouldn't know where to find a hood. I wouldn't know where to find a thug or a ne'er-do-well to sell me some sort of, you know, gun. I bought myself a piece with the serial numbers filed on. I wouldn't know where to do that. But I would imagine that if you got $500 in your pocket and you go to a small town in Oregon, there's a guy in a store who will just sell you one with no questions asked. Almost, I would almost guarantee you that.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, it all depends on where you go.
I suppose. Pendleton does strike me as that kind of place. Not that I'm trying to send people there. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, that's Connor.
Well, anywhere east of Gresham. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I'm not saying it's because they're bad people or because they're trying to assist crime, but I do think it is a fair statement.
Business is business.
Well, business is business. And again, once you get outside of Portland, it's no longer a blue state. When you get into small Oregon towns, it's like when you get outside of Seattle. When you get outside of Seattle and you're in Yakima,
right,
or someplace, it's a red state. It's very conservative. And people believe very strongly that guns are fine and everybody should have one and whatever.
Don't want their towns taken over by terrorists.
No, that's people who don't look like them. Especially, and that's another good point, is especially in a town, I hate to say this, like Yakima, where there is so much of a there's so much of a race blending thing there, because it's not a very white town. There's a lot of it's a very, very diverse town in the sense that it's not a It's not overwhelmingly white. In fact, at certain times of year, I would imagine that white people are a minority in Yakima. And I do firmly believe this, that in any city where there is ethnic diversity, there is a small pocket of people who are very unnerved by that. And then they have this irrational thinking that somehow that exponentially increases the need to own some sort of weapon. There are people who do think that way. I firmly believe that. You go to tiny towns, and there are and if it's a tiny town where people are confronted with people who don't look like them, there's tiny people with tiny brains who feel that the answer to every problem is to have a gun under their pillow. Here's Tim Riley.
Firefighters, the clergy, and others with professional jobs that involve helping and serving people are the most satisfied with their work, and overall they're happier than those in other professions, according to results of a national survey. The top 10 most gratifying jobs and the percentage of subjects who said they're very satisfied with the job in first place are the clergy. They're very satisfied with what they're given. 87% are
satisfied
with what they're doing.
And satiated. Mm-hmm. And relaxed. And ready for a cigarette and a good long sleep.
Mm-hmm. So they're at the top of the list as far as satisfaction goes. There's very little more than they could desire that they're getting.
I was really going to say, is there any need of the clergies that we're not fulfilling in this country? Really? That's the thing where all desires
well,
are...
there are certain expectations when coming into the field.
Like a signing bonus? Do you have a favorite hair color, Your Holiness? All right.
And the second are firefighters, which is a dangerous job. 80% of firefighters enjoy their work very much. And third are physical therapists, 78%.
I don't understand why that would be the case. I don't understand.
Authors, 74%. People are right. Special education teachers, 70%.
Oh, that's a lie. No teacher.
Well, they're trying to be politically correct.
Yeah, there's no teacher anywhere who is incredibly satisfied with their job. I'm not saying that you don't enjoy it. But I'm saying
I know of a lot of teachers who enjoy teaching.
I'm not saying they don't enjoy, but I'm saying it's got to be an incredibly frustrating job. I'm not saying they're not satisfied or happy being teachers. Sarah's mom is a teacher. I'm not saying she doesn't like it, but I'm saying teaching in America seems like it's got to be incredibly frustrating because it's just like an uphill battle. I mean, you're just like a salmon throwing yourself against the current.
Well, what about if you're a teacher in elementary school? Naturally, there's only so much you have to learn to teach a third grader.
That is true. I wonder if it's easier to teach.
I would think so. Is it just repetitive little facts that you know to teach third or second?
I wonder if it's a lot easier to teach a first grader than it is like a seventh grader.
Right. Wouldn't that be easier than teaching, say, a middle school student? That's when they start getting bad.
And a first grader, they're not smart enough to ask you anything you can't answer, and you can lie.
No.
Yeah, they just
don't
ask you.
Don't chew on that crayon. Spit the piece of it in the trash.
Well, and I mean, really, if you're, I mean, let's be honest, you're in first grade, what are you teaching? A, B, C, D.
I mean, how much effort needs to go into that?
You're not really having to talk about, like, Ponce de Leon or something.
And they don't change the alphabet.
And if the kids ask you a question in first grade, you can lie, make up the answer, and they'll have no choice but to believe
you. They'll never remember.
No. I mean, they're not bright enough to really effectively challenge you anyway.
Right.
And they'll always take your word over a first grader's.
I mean, the biggest thing they have to remember is when to go to the restroom.
That's the unfortunate downside, is they often don't remember.
Yeah.
They often don't draw that distinction. Busy shoveling paste into their mouth, Sarah style. I'm sorry.
I never ate paste. I thought it smelled good.
If something smelled good and edible, you probably tasted it at least. That's all I'm saying. Well, if you're a kid, because think about it. I'm not trying to accuse you of being a paste eater as such, Sarah. I'm just saying, if you're a kid and something smells good and seems like food, there would be no. You would just assume it was food, and therefore you would eat some of it. That's a fair statement, I think.
Well, I can't agree or disagree because I do not remember eating paste. So I don't know.
I'm just saying. All right, there's no need to be defensive.
It
may have not been offered. It may not have been. I mean, it's just making the observations. Here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to this, and right under that are painters and sculptors. Now, how many actually make a living doing
this? No one's a sculptor. No one's a sculptor for a living.
67% of them enjoy their work.
It's like no one's. Well, that's because 67% of the three people in this country who are making a living as a sculptor or a painter. That's like when you meet somebody, what do you do?
What's a going wage for that?
I'm a poet. I don't even know. I can't even imagine making a living as a sculptor. I mean, I guess there's probably a handful of people who do it. But again, it's like people who have, you know, it's like unless you really are the U.S. Poet Laureate, mm-hmm. there's no one who makes a living as a poet anywhere, ever. Unless you're Jewel. That's it.
A psychologist? You could never be hurting for business.
I would love to be. You know, I think I'd make a pretty good shrink. I really have thought about that. If this whole radio thing just falls apart.
It has on several occasions, but you don't do it.
Well, I'm always willing to give it one more shot. That's what I'll be saying when I'm 85. Well, I think I might go to Schenectady and just try one more. Try the radio once more. I really ought to become a shrink. I think I could do that. I mean, even if I don't really know what's wrong with somebody, I have no problems offering my opinion.
Why don't you take some night classes at PCC for it or something?
I wonder how long it would take me to become a shrink. How long would it take
if you go to school at night?
If I started, like, years. Now.
Right now?
Yeah, if I started, like, today, like this
after
month.
The next spot break?
If I started after the next step, yes. I wonder how long it would take me if I started like this quarter, like this spring, if I decided to start becoming a shrink.
Change your life for good.
When I could become a shrink by.
Well, what's a cheap shrink school around here?
I don't know, but nobody ever cares. When is the last time you went to a shrink and you asked them where they went?
I've never
to
been to a shrink.
Really? Is that true?
That is true. And not that I'm all there, mind you. It's just that
you're zen with it.
Right. I'm okay with it.
I am fine with my diminished mental capacity.
I'll just get rid of the extra cup of coffee and I'll be fine. And I'll level off.
I am perfectly fine with my stunted emotional state. I don't think I've gone to many shrinks. I've gone to...
Which are your favorites among them all?
My favorite shrink...
And why do you change them?
My favorite shrink... are you asking this seriously?
Yes, I am. I'm curious to know.
My favorite shrink is the one who won't see me anymore. that sounds terrible. No, my favorite shrink... Scotty's asking.
Well, how do you find one in the first place? You don't go through the yellow page. There's several.
Oh, it's like luck of the draw.
Totally. It's totally luck of the draw. Sarah, we're going to be late on this break, so we'll just...
Well, I want the full explanation.
We'll roll through the roof and then fix it in post. My favorite shrink was this woman named Noreen, who was great, and she was recommended to me... Pardon me. I had to... nose hair. I had to block out. My favorite shrink was Noreen, and I saw her for a few years. I started seeing her during my syndicated show. By the way, you listen to KCMD AM Portland. During my syndicated show, because I just woke up every day and just hated my life. I would go to work and do this terrible syndicated show.
We know all about it.
Yeah.
We listen.
Sorry.
Well, I was in the studio. I was your newsman at the time.
You know, you're hearing me suck every day. Just in there, that poor bastard. But it was just so disheartening. And again, I'm saying that I know there are worse problems than to have a syndicated
show. But I felt for you during that period of time.
The worst thing about it was, it was like having the big shot at like the big success, and then it was terrible. Like Davey Nipples says in that documentary about his time in Everclear, he's like it was like catching the brass ring, and then it's filled with crap. It's filled with feces.
Well, it's like getting a big TV show and having it be on the WB.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. Not that that's even possible anymore.
Or the UB or the BW, whatever it is.
It's like Sarah and I getting a TV job offer when we're unemployed, and then it's at a bingo hall. You can crush them. Anyway,
I like that show.
Oh, my God. That's
I'm getting off track.
That's going to haunt us
forever. I'm getting off track.
Oh, I did some worse things in that period of time that have been forgotten.
We should have a whole display at the party about the crap we did while unemployed. Let's never do that. Let's pretend that all didn't exist. No, but so I was doing the syndicated show, and I was just all depressed about the fact that, like, here's my big shot, and it just sucks, and the show is terrible, and the show is dead.
So why can't you go to a Dr. Feelgood and have them give you some pills?
Well, that's the thing. Now, here's the thing. So my wife, you asked how I found Shrinks. Here's how I found, I won't go into every one, but here's how I found the Shrinks in the past. For the first few years that I was going to Shrinks, it was always because someone I was dating, and I don't say this with disrespect, because in retrospect, they were right and I was wrong. I really did need to be in therapy. I just didn't really acknowledge it. And it's like anybody who's like an alcoholic or whatever, you're never going to get better until you just sort of figure out, like, hey, I'm crazy and that should stop. I would have these girls I was dating, and they would get tired of the fact that I was in a temperamental a-hole. And they would be like, you gotta get therapy or I'm leaving. And I'd be like, fine, I'll go. Great. And they would dig up out of the Yellow Pages or whoever. They would find some shrink at random. I would go to placate my girlfriend, which is the wrong reason to go, because I wouldn't have any interest in getting any better. I would just go so they would shut up and quit nagging me. And I know that makes me sound like a jerk. And I will say now again, which I've said dozens of times, that I have retroactively apologized. And it's just retrospect, just put out, just over and over, like to everybody who ever encountered me during any of those periods of time, because they were all right and I was wrong. I was a jerk and didn't want to fix it and didn't want to stop being a jerk. And I just continued to be a bastard and a dick and whatever. So I would go to these shrinks that they would find for me. I would go for like two or three, and I would go basically until my girlfriends quit nagging me about it, and then I would just stop going. And we'll get Jim Roop here in just a second. I never went to a shrink, as they say, for me, as whoever. Is that Helen Reddy? Who sang that song, I've Never Been to Me?
I've never been to me.
Yeah, Mike Chase would sing. I never went to a shrink for me until the syndicated show, and I just felt terrible. Every day, I would just stand in the shower for half an hour because I didn't want to go to work. I would go to work, and I didn't want to do the show. I would come back from commercial break, and I wanted the commercial break just to be continue. I didn't want to be on the air. I just wanted to, when they fired me from the syndicated show, it was actually, it sucked, but it was kind of a relief because it was so terrible. I was doing bad radio. I don't mean bad radio like we do it now, where we natter about the Smurfs for an hour. I mean, terrible, boring radio.
And then they hire somebody worse than you after that, but that's another story entirely.
It's true. And my wife, God bless her, just saw that I was really, really depressed and down. And finally, I just told her, I'm like, life sucks. I hate myself. Every day I wish I was dead. I'm thinking about starting a drinking habit, honey. And I told her, only half kidding. I said, you know, I'm really seriously thinking about beginning to drink heavily. And she said, maybe you ought to talk to somebody. And I actually said, you know, I think you're right. And she asked a female friend of hers, a girlfriend of hers who had gone to therapy, said, hey, who's that woman you went to see? And it was this woman named Noreen. And I went and saw Noreen for about 2.5 years. And Likas has talked about doing this too, about how it was a great thing he did. It was one of the best things I ever did was to go to therapy. One of the best, hands down, one of the best things ever. Then I quit going because things kind of got a lot better, and I was like, well, you know, I think I'm okay for now. I think I can.
So she fixed you.
Yeah. I mean, I was happier anyway. And I said, you know what? I think I'm okay, and I don't think I need to do this, at least for now. Thanks for all the help, and I think I'm in a better place. Quit going. And then, of course, last December or January, a few months ago, when there was all that unpleasantness where I was feeling unhappy about things, I was like, you know what, I'm going to call Noreen and just go in and straighten a few things out of my head because I'm just pissed off all the time. As we were moving over here in the studio and everything, I was in a bad mood all the time. And I called her, and she now no longer does single therapy. She only does couples therapy. And it's this, like, I'm sorry, Noreen, but it's this stupid Dr. Phil type thing where, like, you go on a retreat and it costs, like, $1,200 and it's you and your wife sitting in a room and talking about your chakras.
Oh, Noreen.
She's become really lame. God bless her. She referred me to another guy. And that's a whole different story, which we don't have time to talk about now. So, in the past, therapists...
I thought you were still seeing him.
Well, we don't have time. We'll talk about it on the episode of Jim Roop, perhaps. But therapists were found for me in the past, which is the wrong thing to do. And then Noreen ended up being really, really great. But it is. Sarah's right. It's luck of the draw. And the worst a bad therapist is worse than no therapist at all. Because you're just sitting there and you're hearing your money burn up in your head, and it's just some jerk who's just not helping you. And you're sitting there and you leave angrier than when you went in. You're pissed off all the time at everybody.
So they prescribe some pill for you to take to make
sure. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. All right, well, Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson. Tim Riley.
I want to hear about feel-good pills after Jim Rupp.
No, we'll talk
about there's no hurry. We have a whole show to go.
It's true, and we're going to be very news-heavy today. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles, Jim Rupp. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. So this, and I was saying earlier that I don't know why CNN bothered to send me, I swear to God, a four-page prep sheet today. When every single, and I'm not trying to make a light of this, but every single person is, Amanda Moyer, school shooting. Steve Kastenbaum, school shooting. You, school shooting. Lisa Goddard, school shooting. I mean, it's, let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask you two questions. One of which is sort of a spin off of the other one. I am not trying to diminish, obviously, the horrible thing that happened at Virginia Tech. I'm not trying to downplay it, certainly not making light of it. It obviously is terrible. Statistically speaking, of course, it is the worst that we've ever had. Am I alone in this feeling? And somebody said this actually in one of my blogs, one of my MySpace blogs yesterday. And it's sort of true. Am I alone in this feeling that this is not in some ways, it doesn't feel as weird and terrifying and unsettling in some ways as Columbine did? Do you kind of, I'm not saying it's not terrible and awful, it clearly is, but I was on the air, I remember Columbine, I was around during that time, you know, it seems like Columbine, in a weird way, had sort of some extra weird horror that this doesn't necessarily seem to be striking in the same way. Do you think that we're a little bit kind of numb to this, or
I think we are desensitized a little bit. But I think also in that instance, you got, I think, what, three guys, you know, that conspired to do this?
Columbine?
Yeah.
It was at least two, and there was some discussion at one point about an uncle, but I think it was at least two, yeah.
You know, I mean, those guys in their black coats and their guns and all their stuff, and, you know, I mean, it just became a very strange, eerie kind of thing. This guy was just a nutcase. Now, while he obviously was very disturbed, and people apparently tried to get him some help. I think Columbine was, you're talking high school kids, and I know college kids aren't that far removed from high school, but, I mean, this guy was a senior from South Korea, you know. These were homegrown American kids who just, we found out so many weird things about them.
And maybe that's all part of it, too, is that this guy, however crazy he was an adult. And I think, in a way, adult violence from kids is just a lot more terrifying than violence from adults. And again, I'm obviously it goes to the thing, we're not trying to diminish anything happened in Virginia, but when kids just tip over mentally this way, I think there is an extra added layer of terror to it.
Well, because you got to wonder, what were their parents tuned in at all to these kids?
Right.
You know, there's a whole lot of layers there that you had to peel back. Well, this guy, he was just kind of a nutcase. He's been a loner forever. His roommate, he wouldn't talk to his roommate. He stalked girls. You know, I mean, you knew something was going to come of this based on his history. Well, as we look back at it now,
sure.
But a quarterbacking thing. But the Columbine thing, it was weird because it was just, there were so many weird layers.
Were you, what were you doing in 98 when Columbine happened?
I was working for KNX.
And so, okay, KNX.
And I did not have to go to Colorado.
The station of Bob Crane.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe that's it. And plus, there was the surveillance video that came out about Columbine. And plus, Columbine, am I wrong about this? The Columbine happened live on TV in the sense that we saw people jumping out of windows. But that didn't really happen. Like, this was kind of over at Virginia Tech before anybody really knew about it, right?
Yeah, the only thing we saw of the action was some still pictures. And then, you know, that cell phone video that CNN has played ad nauseum.
Yeah, which I actually still haven't seen, not because I'm avoiding it, just because I've just been so busy with
it. There's nothing to it. It's very strange. You know, I mean, you hear the gunfire, and all you see mostly is concrete because the guy's walking or running or something.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to keep airing that thing, but it's all they had. So I think Columbine will continue to be the eeriest thing I can.
That's the word. It's eerie. Columbine was eerie in a way that this is not. This is
tragic, no doubt.
I think it's horrifying as opposed to scary. And
yeah.
I know that's a subtle distinction.
Yeah. And again, I think it's scary because, man, if these, you know, baseball and apple pie kids, you know, can can be into this stuff and their parents don't realize it. What's going on in your own home?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Again, this guy, you know, was an adult from South Korea, you know, and a resident alien living here and just went nuts. I don't want to go there. But, you know, I think that's the difference. I think these were homegrown American kids, and you had to wonder, what was going on at home? Where was mom and dad?
I think the other thing is the knowledge, and I've told people, if you really want to be terrified, and many people do not, and I've already got some listeners who were like, thanks, Dick, why did you tell me to do that? If you really sit and read the Wikipedia entry about the Columbine kids, it is one of the creepiest things I have ever read in my life.
Yeah, I looked at that the other day, trying to get some numbers on, you know, the Texas guy in 66. And
I mean, the video diaries they made, and the fact that it was so well, I mean, not that this guy didn't think it out, but I mean, the Columbine kids, it really was, they had written all of these things about, like, you know, we want the whole world to remember us, and by the time this is over, there's going to be 1,000 people dead.
And they didn't seem depressed in doing it.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, they were laughing and giggling as they were practicing their gunfire.
Totally.
You know, I mean, it was just way weird.
And they were, you know, and especially the Eric Harris guy just was totally, it was like it was his life's work. Like, you know, it was like some guys write a novel, this guy was going to shoot some people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so creepy, and it's giving me chills even to talk about it. So this, and they talk about, and I hate to sound like such a defeatist about it, I was talking to Lisa Goddard, but I mean, as long as we want to live in a society where you have a Bill of Rights, there's just nothing you can do about this kind of stuff to some degree. I mean,
well,
you know,
true.
We got guns, and you don't have to have ID to go places.
That's true. However, California wants to be the first state in the union, I guess, to enact this law where instant background checks have to happen. You know, you can't take the gun home and then wait for your background check or whatever the situation is now.
Which I don't think would have this guy bought one of these guns that we know he bought over a month ago.
And the weird thing, too, is I guess the serial numbers were filed off, but yet the receipt for one of the guns was in his backpack. I mean, if you're going to try and get away with something, you're not going to save the receipt and file off the gun.
And the serial number being filed off is weird, too, because that implies at some point he was thinking, like, O.J. style. That he was, Al Cowlings was going to drive him across the border somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy, man.
It is a weird way. It really is. This world is just, I don't even know that the world's getting any better or any worse, but it does seem like we go through patches of time. We go through peaks and troughs, and right now, we're going through a whole weird phase right now. It's the last couple, and I said the same thing yesterday, but I mean, we're just going through a strange period of time. So, all right, Jim Roop.
Well, it's been that kind of week, though.
No, it's true. There's been a weird vibe. There's a strange energy in the air the last week or so. Just a strange kind of chemistry out there. I think you would agree.
I do agree.
All right, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Thank you, my friend. Jim Roop live in L.A. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Do we have to break? Do we have to? Fantastic. We'll come back. We'll talk about drugs and happy pills. And more psychiatric tales from Rick Emerson. 503-733-2970. Coming up later, top five. Scotty J. Morton, Jim Riley, Mr. Skin. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson radio program.
It's not funny.
It's hilarious. This is a friend of yours who lives in Japan?
Well, she travels all around, and I don't know exactly where she is right now.
So how is it that she came to see the picture?
I don't know.
Did you tell her that it's not you with the ball gag in your mouth?
She just wrote to me saying, hi, long time no talk. Hope you're doing well.
Why is she contacting you out of the blue after all this time, Sarah?
She sent me a picture of the ball gag girl. Hi, Sarah. Hope all's well with you.
I never get tired of hearing ball gag, by the way.
Hope all's well with you. Long time no talk. I see you're having a party at the Barracuda tomorrow.
I see you're doing porn now.
Good times. Anyways, I guess I should tell you I normally wouldn't do this, but I decided you have to see this. This model looks so much like you, to me anyhow. Is it you?
And it's the ball gag girl.
It's the ball gag girl.
Long time no talk. Long time no you can talk either. Call out your...
Please call me so we can talk.
So, Sarah, how are things?
I can't stop looking at this picture. It's freaking me out.
So, how's radio?
What are you doing over a coin?
I hate you both.
Bring out the gimp.
Sarah's the gimp.
Oh, that's my 8x10 shot. I'm hosting late night movies.
On coin television.
That's a CBS.
With new wider screen TV HD.
CBS should put that in their press kit. Riley.
Instead of running from this, I should just embrace it because it's not going to go away.
Now, here's the thing is, where did...
Like, I don't know.
Let's,
she does a bunch of modeling
stuff. Probably
Van
Nuys, I would imagine. But they're all taken.
Let's all get a hold of ourselves in the valley. Let's all get a hold of ourselves. At the beginning of the show, and I mean like hours ago, like 11:30, I mentioned that at kink.com, which many people accidentally go to because they think it's the website for Kink FM, there was a photo of a girl in a ball gag, not nude, but in a, what must be described as a sexual pose, that bore more than a passing resemblance to Sarah.
It is not Sarah.
It is not Sarah. To the best of our knowledge, but it looks
Where
a lot... It's not Sarah. It's
that?
Not Sarah. It's not you.
I am letting you play with this because you say that it's not me. It is not. Okay.
It's not you. But it does bear more than a passing resemblance, as I think many people have noted.
It's very scary how much she looks like
me. It's a glamour shot of a different sort.
Now the glamour... No, I don't have it handy. Glamour...
How's your woodcock?
No.
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Well, whatever. We'll call that good. The thing is... This is like a 100th monkey kind of thing, the culture, the shared consciousness, because I had never heard of this photo until like a couple hours ago. And now a girl you know who travels in Japan has seen it. How did that happen? That can't be a coincidence.
I haven't spoken to her in like 2 years.
Maybe it's sweeping the net. Maybe it's sweeping the interwebs, Sarah. Maybe you're the next internet phenomenon.
Yeah, this girl has a lot bigger boobs than I do.
Your friend?
No, the girl.
Oh, the girl in the ball gag.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to inspect that more closely later, I suppose.
Oh, don't be creepy.
It's not you. What do you mean? You mean be creepy?
Well,
it's not a picture
so much
of you.
Like me, I know.
Well, that's why that was weird for me, by the way, because looking at it, because this person. I'm sorry, we're so behind. We got to do the news here in a second, but I just have to say this. So this person who pointed this out to me, who said, hey, don't you think the girl at this kink porn site looks like Sarah? I obviously knew it wasn't you, because you would never do something like that. You would never pose for something. You pose for some sort of interesting and sort of edgy photography, but you would never pose for anything. It was just flat-out porn. Or nudity. I mean, you would not do that. And I mean that sincerely. You're very modest about that, and people probably wouldn't know that. But you are sort of modest in a strange way. In a strange, perverse, weird way. But looking at it did make me feel a little weird, though, because it was just sort of a strange... Just sort of like I couldn't quite get my head around it. It was just sort of weird. It was like...
It's really kind of messing with my head.
It was like seeing someone play you in a movie. You know what I mean? It was like seeing yourself depicted in a film, and you can't quite sort of get your head around it. It's like when that guy came to the listener party dressed as me one time, and he had like the same hair and the Van Dyke and the same shirt. It's all very weird. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth,
who's Tim Ward?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so there's a lot of nutty people out there. And Lewis and Clark College said a man was seen carrying what looked like an ammunition belt across campus this morning. They even said it had 50 rounds of ammunition. Well, you know how these urban rumors start. It wasn't. It was just a badly chosen fashion accessory. The man was located, the belt confiscated, and apparently his britches stayed up even though he couldn't run around with that anymore. It was a decorative item, said he, and it didn't contain actual ammunition. And he didn't have a weapon either.
I think his brain is only decorative.
And then Washington State University, the illustrious Vancouver campus, was closed last night after somebody wrote some threatening graffiti in a restroom.
What would you possibly be learning at the Vancouver campus of anything?
13th grade.
Seriously. All right.
I have no idea what they would learn there.
I have no idea. Really, there's nothing I can imagine. Just
canning vegetables?
I can't even come up with a joke. That's how much I can't even...
Making a bicycle?
I can't even conceive how to make exact change for the bus without buying something. All right.
Meanwhile, a massive fire that engulfed Orange County in Florida
This
oh,
is a
wow. Where?
Florida.
It's all me.
This garage fire was sparked by the homeowner. His name is Fred. He accidentally started the blaze inside his home. When a spark from his welding iron landed on a gas can. I reached over to get the gas can a couple times.
So his home is filled with ammunition, and he's welding next to some gas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Florida. What would we do without that state, really? Honestly.
The booms were like a war zone, said the neighbor.
Well, that's genius. Fantastic.
So,
good times.
Yeah. The ammunition changed the strategy of fighting the fire.
Really? Do you suppose?
So then the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was called in.
So this is some fellow in Florida.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, what's John Kerry thinking today, you ask?
I can't imagine. I really honestly can't.
Well, he said that yesterday he doesn't think Don Imus should have been fired for his racially charged remarks. A sharp break from his current Democratic 2008 frontrunners. Now, wait a minute. He's not even a frontrunner or a backrunner or a runner at all.
I thought he was in the running. I thought that
he said he's still thinking about it.
Oh, come on. I thought he'd issued a thing saying, like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's not the right time. Let someone move
on. It's not going to be the worst time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. You know, the punishment has to fit the crime, so to speak, said Kerry. Kerry, who had Imus' support in the race in 2004, said he might be willing to go on a future Imus show if the radio host finds a new station, or if he goes back to the same old, whatever that means.
I have no idea. That's a phrase that people of a certain age and generation and style use, and I don't...
Unfortunately, he talks like someone who's like 40 years older than he is.
I don't even know how old John Kerry is. If I had to guess his age, I don't even think I would know it. All right, let's see, it's 503-733-2970. Part of me, the only reason, I mean, here's the thing, the only reason at this point that I would ever want John Kerry to be president is so I can use the Kerry Watch theme. That's it. That's the sole reason.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Let's see, Ian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
This might have happened a little before you got into town here in Portland, but there was a school shooting here in Portland.
Well, there was Kip Kinkle.
No, that was in Springfield, wasn't it?
But I mean, everything is relative to Portland. What was the school shooting here?
Oh, it was like 97, maybe 96 at Madison High School.
I don't know. Really?
Happened right in front of me, yeah. Some kids pulled up next to the park adjacent to the school, and they just got out of their car, just started shooting bullets all over the place.
Was anybody hurt?
I think one kid was, like, hitting the hand or hitting the arm or something like that, but nobody was actually killed.
Well, so these kids were not only violent, they were idiots. They had not even thought through what they were going to be doing, and they just fired a bunch of random crap for no reason.
Yeah, pretty much.
God damn, so this world is full of some stupid, weird people.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That was the extent of my observation.
Yeah, I mean, they just pulled up their car and just started shooting bullets, and I think they maybe wanted to add that to their, rap sheet sort of resume, criminal resume, if you will.
Yeah, from the mean streets of Madison High School, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But another thing I noticed is that you were asking some questions about muskets, of all things.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I so happen to own a musket.
Like an actual, like the kind that looks like a trumpet but with a trigger on the end of it?
No, that's not a musket. That's a blunderbuss.
A what or what?
A blunderbuss.
And what is a blunder? Please to be telling me what a blunderbuss is.
It's a very short sort of firearm, usually flintlock ignition. That it's sort of like your sawed-off shotgun for the 18th century.
Fantastic. All right. Okay. So now you own a musket. Now are you like one of those like Civil War reenacting guys or something like that?
No. I kind of dabble in reenacting, usually in an earlier period, 18th century.
Uh-huh.
And, mine shoots a 75 caliber ball. Thing just hammers your shoulder. It's about 5 feet tall, and, it's pretty cool.
Here's a dumb question, and I'm trying to be morbid. You kill somebody with that?
You could, very easily.
Really?
If you look at the ball, it's 3/4 of an inch in diameter.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. You'll have to send us a picture of that at some point.
To your regular email?
Yeah, just send that to Rick at Rick Emerson.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Ian. All right, there you go. Thank you, Ian. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Former male model Carrick Ross is speaking out to the National Enquirer about his torrid homosexual affair with Larry Birkhead. And it wouldn't surprise many if he's the first of many men to start to come forward. Larry Birkhead met Anna Nicole Smith in his state of Kentucky a few years ago, and he clung onto her coattails all the way to D-list Hollywood. Well, America doesn't know the whole story behind Larry Birkhead, says Carrick, who's now 38 and lives in Louisville, Kentucky. He apparently had sex with Anna Nicole and found her baby, but there is no question he also had sex with me. This is Carrick speaking. The two met The two met at a cocktail party in Louisville around mid-2000 when Birkhead was a struggling real estate agent and writer angling for a showbiz career in Hollywood.
Oh, God, aren't they all?
Yes, they are.
It's a very common tale.
Yes, they are. Shocking, isn't it? We were together for about 2 months and had sex 8 to 10 times, always in my apartment. He often spent the whole night with me. But Birkhead insisted on keeping their romance a secret. I had been out for a long time, but Larry was not out of the closet, and he was terrified about his family, who were devout Southern Baptists, finding out.
So he decided that his family would instead be told that...
Would be proud if he was an Nicole Smith.
They can't handle that I'm a gay man, but they'll be proud that I have fathered the Smith baby. Mother, I'd like you to meet Anna. She's my everything.
Well... Apparently, Birkhead's lawyers and I had a gay relationship with Carrick, but Carrick passed a rigorous polygraph test administered by a top-notch examiner, someone who's well thought of by the Enquirer. And Carrick said that Larry didn't consider himself gay. He was more comfortable by saying he was a bisexual.
All right. Well, there you go.
The new issue of the National Enquirer has more details. Look for it on a newsstand tomorrow.
Sarah's got the strangest look on her face right now. What is? I'm trying to put a word on that look. Let's see. I'm trying to find a description. What is?
I'm nothing. I'm just.
Is there something you don't want to talk about?
No, I'm just really freaked out about that picture. That's all.
Clearly everybody knows it's not you.
No, I know that. I'm not freaked out actually about the context of it. It's just I've never seen someone with my face so close. That's the part.
She does look a lot like you. And I say that having not seen it since it was on your screen this morning. I haven't looked at it again because that would just be weird. And I don't want to weird you out by me sitting like a foot away from you and like staring at a picture of a girl who looks just like you and she's gagged. Because that would just be strange. But she does look kind of strange. Now you know what it feels like to have me and Bialik in the world. You know what I'm talking about, too.
Oh, poor guy.
Because she's the only one who ever... Sadly for her, not so much for me, that girl, Mia Bialik from Blossom, is really the only person in the world who looks like me. Richard Belzer looks like me. But see, again, that's only like...
You're kind of a crossbreed between the two.
There's only... That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Rick, what celebrity do you most resemble? Richard Belzer crossed with Blossom? You want to meet me? ASL! The thing about Richard Belzer is, I'm sorry, I didn't, Belzer.
I barely knew her.
He's like 100 years old. I don't have any photographs. I'm not even really sure that I've ever seen what Richard Belzer looked like when he was my age, when he was like 34. So I got nothing. So I really only have the Blossom thing to go on. So it's got to be a little disconcerting. It's like seeing a twin. It's like that episode of the Brady Bunch where there was that other Peter. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the Supreme Court upheld the nationwide ban on the controversial abortion procedure, handing abortion opponents the long-awaited victory they expected for a more conservative bench. It was a 5-4 ruling. It said the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act that Congress passed and the President signed into law in 2003 did not violate a woman's constitutional right to an abortion. It does not?
I don't know.
It's crazy. Well, I'm going to throw this away because it just makes people fight and argue.
We ought to get a shredder installed here just so we can really vigorously get rid of stories that we actively dislike. Not just throw them away, not just crumble them up, but stories that actually we actively have disdains for, we can just kind of... Speaking of shredding, do you know what we're going to have on display? Sarah found these. All those Carrot Top tickets that Dick wanted us to give away. Carrot Top...
I found a whole bundle of them in my bag of shit.
Carrot Top... Blew off 3 different interviews with us and then had the nerve to nag me about, are you going to be giving away my tickets? And then we just shredded a bunch. We found some left over.
The last time I was in Vegas, there were pictures of Carrot Top everywhere.
Was it the weird...
Just like Stalin.
Like Stalin or Danny Gans? There's some Stalin Carrot Top joke, I guess, somewhere, but I don't really know that I'm the man to make it. Was he the steroided up, angry looking Carrot Top? Boy, that guy's just. That's a guy who has no choice but to go into show business because no one's ever going to have sex with him otherwise. Ever, ever, ever.
I can just envision him coming up from behind that black curtain. Him or Uncle Milty.
That's disturbing. Uncle Milty. Kenny, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
How you doing today?
I'm all right.
Right on. Well, I needed to call up and apologize to you because I'm not going to be able to make the listener party tomorrow night. I wanted to tell you why.
Well, tell us why, and then we'll decide whether we accept your apology.
Okay, well, that's fine. I've been unemployed for 4 months.
You need liquor, clearly. You
and
need alcohol.
I'm fine. The only place that I was able to go was the Horns on Cross Hawthorne. I was number 17 on the placard.
Uh-huh.
And I missed all of your other listener parties, and I figured, okay, I'm unemployed. I'm collecting unemployment. I thought it would be great. I finally was going to be able to get to go down and get to a listener party. And a family member died down in California.
Now, now, first of all, our condolences. Was this someone you liked?
Well, someone I didn't know very much, but the family kind of recruited me to say that I had to go down.
So you're being...
And
you're being...
It's on Friday evening, and I was trying to figure out whether I could drive down there after the listener party, but I figured I'd be so tanked up that that was not going to be a good idea.
I will say this. Now, if you... And you won't remember this, but for people who were at the last listener party 9, which happened at Sabala's about a year ago,
yeah,
there was a man who had... This is a true story, and people who were there remember this. There's probably video of this. I think this is on the YouTubes. There was a guy, his name was PF, or... No, his uncle, his relative was PF. There was a guy, I think his name was Mike. He was a listener. His grandfather or uncle, it was like a grandfather or uncle who had died. He was supposed to go to the funeral, but instead he realized that life was for the living and that his grandfather would have wanted him to celebrate his renewed existence.
I remember that.
To breathe the sweet air of life and the world around him and to realize that every day above ground is a day worth celebrating. And so this guy blew off the funeral, came to the listener party. We brought him up on stage, and he rhapsodized for 30 or 40 seconds about his, I think it was a grandfather, about his grandfather, and then we all hoisted glasses, and we had a toast and a cheer to his grandfather, which we felt was an appropriate and good way to celebrate the man and his life.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to call you, is because I've been sitting here all day just trying to think about, okay, do I honor the family or do I honor, you know, the Rick Emerson family?
I think you know the answer to that, Kenny.
Yes. Unfortunately, I am obligated to drive all the way down to California. But
Kenny,
I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew that I was there in spirit.
Thanks, Kenny.
Well, that's Sarah thanking you. I'm going to withhold my thanks.
Oh, don't be a jerk.
Well, Rick, the only reason I called is because I didn't want you to be dead to me because I'm an old school listener. I've been with you for all the years, and I'm one of the anonymous people that hates crowds like you do.
Yes.
And I
probably going to be a crowd at that funeral. Was this a popular family member?
Not to me, but I'm
going
to have to go anyways.
You're driving to the funeral of a family member that you clearly disliked.
Yes, but I have to go. That has been decided. But the thing is that I've been spending 4 months just getting so excited about being able to go to the
And you are going to let your family take that away so that you are forced to celebrate the life of a person you clearly did not like.
Well, I just didn't really know that well. It's down in San Diego. I have to drive all the way down there.
You have to drive all the way to San Diego in one night?
That is a long drive.
Tell me about it.
Sir, I don't think you could.
It took me 2 days to drive here from L.A.
I don't think, and San Diego is like two and a half, 3 hours past L.A., depending on traffic. There's no way that you'll never be able to make that. When do you have to be there?
It's Saturday morning. I have to be down there by Friday.
You have to be down there by what time Friday?
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And you leave this afternoon.
You'd have to leave, like, within an hour or two of now.
That's why I'm calling you right now, is because I wanted to apologize, and I just didn't want you to be dead to me because I couldn't be there. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm there in spirit.
I have to say that a little piece of me is dying inside right now, Kenny.
It'll cost you more to drive than it would be to fly.
That is probably true. That's true.
I couldn't find a flight.
You can get bereavement fares if you call the airline.
See, I tried that the last time.
Well, I heard you guys talking about Southwest Airlines, and I don't know if I want to do that after Paula Abdul.
Now, here's a question. Now, to get a bereavement fare, does the person actually have to be dead, or will they accept crippled? They will not. I ask this because this is a horrible thing, but I ask this because when Lara tried to fly to Utah, her dad had a stroke. Her dad had a stroke, and she was this is so terrible. But she would. This is the stuff that life is made of. She was on the phone. I won't name the airline, but she was on the phone arguing with them, demanding a bereavement fare. And the woman on the other end was clearly trying to find a tactful way to say, "Is the person dead?" And he wasn't. My father-in-law had a small stroke and some other unpleasantness, but he wasn't dead. And it was so funny to hear my wife sitting there going, "But come on now." Now, listen, I demand, you have to cut me a deal. He could, the whole left side of his body. Now, come on, what about 30%? And the person at the airline was just operating off some sort of three-ring binder in front of them, clearly trying to find a graceful way to go, like, he's still alive. We can't call back. No, call back when he's dead. They couldn't find a way to say that tactfully. So, Kenny, I'd say you're screwed. I would say right now you're not going to make it.
Well, I'm going to have to try because family is important to me, and I know the Rick Emerson family to me is extremely
important.
What
about a family? Now, see, this family.
Rick, all right, you've given him enough grief.
What about the family that you've chosen to be part of as opposed to the family that you simply happen to be born into?
Well, it's family, and I have to go.
I'm going to sound like a dick if I continue. Fine.
I understand. And that's why I've been sitting here all day listening to the show and just trying to debate on whether or not to just off the family that I, you know, was born into or hang out with you guys and have fun. But
it's all right.
Anyway, so hold me in spirit. I wish I could have been there. I've been planning on it for 4 months being unemployed, and I figure, well, shoot.
Your family ought to at least be paying for your trip down there if you're on unemployment.
They are. Yeah, they are.
Oh, really? Well, okay. I can't really quarrel with that.
Well, I'm on unemployment benefits, so, you know.
All right, Kenny. Well, have a safe trip, my friend.
All right. Are you guys going to be taping anything down there? Is there any way?
No. There will be no record of this at all. If you're not there, you will have only the stories of others.
God, I wanted to see the history.
Well, unfortunately, that's not possible, Kenny. I'm sorry. There's just nothing that can be done about it.
He's having a hard enough day.
Well,
it's going to get harder. All right. No, seriously, have a safe trip, and let us know when you get back, my friend.
All right, thank you.
That's Kenny. There you go.
All right.
I can't think of anybody in my family I would drive for like a day and a half for. There's my mom. That's it. End of story. And she only lives 2 hours away. All right. Is it almost 2 o'clock?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Sweet Jesus gravy.
I have to get to work on other things pretty soon.
All right. Well, should we... I haven't even talked about being on Prozac yet.
No.
You're on Prozac?
Well, not today. So be nice! Well,
what happens when one takes Prozac?
Boy, how much time do we have? Well, here's, Sarah, it's 5 till 2, or thereabouts.
Let's just break.
We got a break.
Let's
we got
talk calls. About this later.
I got to do a top 5. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk Prozac.
All right.
And we'll have at least one other news break from Tim Riley coming up in the next hour. We got to continue our search for the worst story ever. This email says, "Rick, I just looked at the site and the woman in the photo does look like Sarah." Well, you're always saying how lousy radio pays, and maybe she needed extra income. Think about it. She does have a new apartment, says Lisa. All right, thank you, Lisa. Back
is
after
that from
this...
my friend, Lisa?
No, it's not.
I will kill her.
No, okay. It's not. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You say they're back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. God damn, it's 2 o'clock already. Holy God Almighty. All right. Well, what do we got to do? Let's see.
We got calls to get to. We got to do our hunt for the worst story. Let's see. And all this coffee. Or more Vizo, quite possibly. 503-733-2970. All right. Now, you may or may not want to... So somebody has sent me, Sarah. You may or may not want to know this. Somebody has sent me now a webpage. I'm viewing all these webpages for work purposes, by the way. Somebody has sent me a link to not that porn star's official... somebody sent me what claimed to be her MySpace page, which clearly it's not her. Somebody has sent me, though, a link to a gallery of other similar photographs. Again, no nudity in any of them, but they're following the same thing. It's like a tie me up with some rope kind of a site.
Now, does she look like me in the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Less so, maybe. You know what it is more than anything? It's the hair.
Yeah, because that's the same hair I had a few, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, I know this is creepy, but look at me for just a second.
Hang on, it's a copy.
Look at me with an unblinking gaze. It's the hair and it's the eyes. It really is the eyebrows. Like, you've got sort of, you don't have like crazy, like Walter Cronkite eyebrows. But they're your eyes and your eyebrows are kind of prominent. And it's the hair. Did you want to come here and look at these?
Okay.
I'm asking, by the way, I'm only asking. I'm not telling you, of course, that you should come look at these.
I know.
Wait, hold on. Before you look at this, do you want to know the caption for the site? Beautiful young women discover bondage for the first time. And then it's done as a pseudo schoolgirl site. Name, Tiffany. Occupation, student. Age, 18.
Oh, she's naughty.
Discovery.
Okay, can I look now?
Yeah, come. Now, it's this first shot right here.
Oh, she doesn't look like me.
It's the hair, though, don't you think? I mean, she doesn't look...
Well, I mean, if you take...
See, it's the hair and the eyes. That's why, and I don't mean to be crude, but that's why with the ball gag, it looks so much like you, because her mouth doesn't look anything like yours, and she's got a different nose. But from, like, the top, the bridge of her nose up, that could be you. Like, I'm covering at the bottom. I'm looking just at the top of her face, like, just the nose, eyes, and hair. That could totally be you.
Yeah, that could be.
So,
that's unnerving.
So in some of the photographs where her mouth is filled with something, she does look a lot like you. That's all I'm saying. Oh, this is a subsidiary site from kink.com. Fantastic. I should meet this girl. Apparently, she likes it all day long. Well, that's great.
What does she like all day long?
Ice cream. Good conversation.
We do have a lot in common.
C-SPAN. Why, hello. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, Raquel Kenny, he won't be at the listener party in spirit. His grandfather will be there in spirit. Kenny will be nowhere. He is dead to us. All right. Rick, I understand there's some new curtains in the studio right behind Sarah. Do they match the carpet? I love this audience. I really do. They're fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's just get some of these calls here. Stacy about antidepressants. No, Stacy's gone. Well,
don't make it depressing.
She didn't have the will to. Didn't have the will to hang on the line. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. See you tomorrow night.
Thank you, sir.
I have three questions for you. One, what would Don Imus say about the guy in Virginia?
At the moment,
miserably,
nothing.
Visibly racist invective would he use?
I don't know.
Okay. Second question. This has to do a lot with the Virginia Tech thing. Does Todd McCorks, who is a loner and doesn't like people, own any guns?
No, Todd the Corpse, that's actually interesting. We do get some questions. I think in the Encyclopedia Ricconi, or whatever the hell we call it, our fact, I don't think we ever addressed Todd the Corpse. Todd the Corpse, who actually has an official sounder that we don't ever really use. We suck.
Yeah.
This is his sounder. Oh, there's my computer up. Here's the sounder.
Come on.
Todd the Corpse, who, by the way, will be at this party for the very first time. He's never come to a listener party before. He will be there.
Yeah,
this sounds like a joke, but he is a Sunday school teacher. He is a very, very devoted, married, family man, Christian, blah, blah, blah. Hates people, gatherings, whatever. He's going to be coming to this. He got the name Todd the Corpse because he was in a short film that Joni DeRoshi and I made called Remote Control, which is a short thriller. And we had a contest on the air to cast the part of the corpse. And Todd
won the contest and played the part of the corpse in Remote Control, for which I think he still actually has like a death mask cast of himself at home. So that's why he saw the corpse, yeah.
Okay, well, good, because then that takes away the third question, which was, what was the thing at the beginning of the show? You said one thing that I owe that I've only done once, and I did it at a listener party. You know.
What?
You
said it earlier, one time at a listener party.
We got so busy with gun calls that we never even got to that. We actually never even, well, maybe we'll end up doing that tomorrow.
My answer was going to be, if Todd the corpse owned guns, I would have said I dragged Rick Emerson's lifeless body over myself and played.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Benjamin,
hey, Rick, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what a wonderfully synchronistic day. First we get this pic that looks like Sarah accidentally discovered twice over. And then the call right before the break there was a guy who's going to a funeral in California for his grandfather, which actually I just got back from a funeral in California for my grandfather last weekend.
The universe keeps all things in balance, sir.
It does. And I wanted to thank you for playing that DOA song for me. That was awesome. That made my flight very enjoyable.
Oh, are you the guy who asked to hear the DOA, the wait, hold on, do I have this here? No, I don't. I don't know where it is. But you're the guy who would ask to hear. Oh, wait, here we go. This is the.
The sheets are red and moist.
Should I sing popcorn in the background while you search?
No, it's right here. Hold on a second.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Oh, but I didn't die. I came back safe. But I'm actually, I will be at the listener party, but I got to get up at 4 in the morning on Friday to take another flight to Michigan. So the only question is, how drunk will I still be when I get on the plane?
I would say very drunk. I got to tell you this, and here's the thing, and this is people who call in and they're like, I can't go to the listener party. I have to work. I have somewhere to be. You know what? Here's the thing, and I will say this, and I'm not trying to get sympathy, because we have pretty easy jobs, all things considered. But I have to tell you, anybody who knows anything about the listener parties, they are big, and they're big blowouts, and everybody has a great time. And then we drag our asses in here and talk for 4 solid hours the next day. No voice, throat scraped all to hell, reeking of cigarette smoke, eyes burning, everybody hungover, ears ringing, wishing you were dead. And the weird thing is that the listener parties, I mean, we get home whenever, but I never get any sleep. I go home, and as Bob Seger would say, just the echo for the amplifier is just so loud that you can never sleep. And I always come in here like with like an hour of sleep to my name the following day. So that is no excuse for anybody.
You have that ringing in your ear, just a boom.
Yes,
going.
As though I was Pete Townsend, exactly.
Definitely. Well, what I really called about was, speaking of wishing you had a different job or something like that, you'd asked about what it would take to be a psychologist, and
yes.
I have the answer, because that is actually somewhat of my profession. I mean, I stopped at a bachelor's degree, which is all I needed for where I'm at, but in order to hang out a shingle all on your own and be licensed, you just need a master's degree, which would take you about 6 years.
Now, really?
Yeah.
Now, I've never gone to college of any kind ever. Is that gonna slow me down?
No, you just pile right in, get your associates, transfer over to a 4-year, get your bachelor's, get into a master's degree program, and bam, in roughly six years, you're hanging out a shingle and
people. There's no faster way to become a shrink.
Not really. You really do need a lot of schooling. But I got some reasons why you'd make a good shrink and maybe not such a good shrink if you want to hear them. Otherwise, I'll just leave you alone.
No, that's fine. No, go ahead. Lay it on me.
Well, the thing that you would be really awesome at this is because you are very insightful. You have this uncanny ability to see right to the heart of things.
That
call
is true.
Call it like you see it. You also have this, what I'm kind of considering, you know, a continuum perspective on things. You have a view of normal that encompasses the wide variety of human experience.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. you're just making things up now.
Well, no, this is true. I mean, you're not easily shocked. You say, well, there it is. And when you look at stuff, and you're not sidetracked or narrow in your perspective on things.
Well, that's typically because I typically just don't care.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why you may not make such a good psychologist. You're a little too angry sometimes, a little too quick to mock or make light of other people's tragedy, which makes you great on the radio, but not so good when you're talking to someone sitting on a couch who just needs a sympathetic ear.
Or as a human being.
Yeah. Or as a husband, or as anybody you want to spend time with ever in a car. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. All right.
Well, anyway, I think you do it, and you would actually, you learn a lot of things about yourself going to school, which is one of the things that I was kind of surprised at, is like, you know, you flip to the book and you go, good God, that's me, am I, you know, how crazy am I? And it, really, we're all pretty crazy.
Six years, I have to say, and I won't say who it is, but there is a friend of mine who works in radio in Portland who is simultaneously doing a radio show and working on becoming a shrink. So I wouldn't be the first, I guess, so maybe, I guess it is doable. 6 years, though, I just have so little, follow through.
Well, you can do it, you'd be great, man.
All right, thank you, sir.
Right,
there you go. That's Benjamin. All right, Benjamin. I think he might have been the guy who wrote... Now, I don't want to say this. I shouldn't say. I think he might have been the guy that wrote that Borderline Baby song.
I think it is, too.
All right. Well, maybe we'll play a little bit of that. Anyway, all right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, I've made the drive from Portland into San Diego. None of this sissy sleeping crap in the middle and only 10 stops at a time. 10 minute stops at a time. The first part was tolerable. At about 10 hours, I was praying for death. But once hysteria set in from lack of sleep, it was the best 18-hour drive ever. I shall myself be enjoying the warm embrace to the bosom of the Rick Emerson family tomorrow while Kenny is counting the endless mile markers. Signed, A Cheap and Evil Girl. Fantastic. It's my two favorite things. So don't forget, if you are, now, and I've got, we have a whole variety, a panoply, a whole swath of people who come to these. Of course, if you are a woman, you know, it's not required, of course, that you come as a schoolgirl. It's not required that you dress anyway. Dress however you want. The mystery guest asked us, said, how shall I dress? And we said, you know what? Dress however you want, mystery guest. Dress in a way that's going to make you feel good.
Be careful. Don't flip up.
I'm not.
All right, so I'm looking at this picture of Larry Birkhead and his kid. And it's a little unnerving because even though he just met the child for the first time last week, right? And they're posing, he's posing shirtless with his child. It just feels a little wrong.
You know, Dennis Pitsenbarger does that.
Well, he's laying on the bed, like, right next to the baby, like, completely shirtless. I don't, it just seems weird.
Really?
Okay, look at that.
Oh, that is creepy.
That looks a little... It just looks kind of bizarre.
Now, there's the Inquirer has claimed that he's had a longtime gay lover. Right?
Yeah.
Larry Birkhead.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't he... I mean, all I'm going to say is this. He looks like he ought to be in a boy band. That's all I'm going to say. Which is fine. And as the old tired cliche goes, not there's anything wrong with that, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying. He looks like he ought to be standing next to... Lance Bass, also Chris Kirkpatrick, mainly Lance Bass. It's true, which is fine. I wish I looked like that. My life would be better.
He's not very pretty.
He's an attractive man. Anna Nicole Smith, okay, although I guess it's not really an exclusive club. Anna Nicole Smith thought he was good enough to hump. Rick, you have the same qualifications as Dr. Laura, a radio show, and no training in psychology. You are a shrink. Yeah, it's true. She has no training in that. She's like a phys ed teacher or some crap. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Anyway, to answer the question, obviously, you should come however you want to dress, whatever you feel like you want to dress, upscale, downscale, anywhere in between. We always encourage women in the audience to come dressed. You know, you find a schoolgirl outfit, you wear it just because that's fantastic. And let's come on, who doesn't love schoolgirls? Not required, but we love you to do it. So, you know, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. How about this? This is from Dawn. Dawn says, Rick, love, love, love the show. Wanted to let you know my boyfriend and I will be coming and are looking forward to it. I've been waiting for this day for some time. I've been a listener since my boyfriend got me turned on to it, and I can't stop. I am hooked, addicted, and the only cure is listening more. Also, what a great way to celebrate my birthday, she says. Yes, my birthday is tomorrow, Thursday, and I will be celebrating with all the fine people who care to be part of the Emerson family. I look forward to learning more about the show. See you there. Everybody who isn't coming is a bastard. All right, well, thank you. 503-733-2970. Hello, sir. Hi, and how can I help you on today's Rick Emerson Show?
I was calling to let you know that my job was pretty cool about the whole, you know, being out late on Thursday night. They actually allowed me to schedule hangover time.
Really? Is that true? Is that like a personal day's hangover time?
No. They gave me just like a couple of hours of hangover time. I just told them, hey, I'm probably going to be late on Friday. And they looked at me a while. I'm like, oh, I'll probably be really hungover. And they're like, oh, all right.
Excellent. Good for them. What a fine company. What kind of work do you do, sir?
High-end home audiovisual installation.
Very good. Well, see, you don't want to be installing all that when you're still three sheets to the wind anyway.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go. We should probably break here. Let me take us into break with this. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Still to come. Top five. The final break from Tim Riley, and we'll have another round of What is the Worst Story in the Entire World? It's the Rick Emerson Show.
She's a little
on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Like a puppet on string. She's abusive and hostile, loving and sweet. It's a fatal attraction. She's my borderline baby. She acts like she's two when I walk by her toys. She's a little delusional and paranoid. She's a girl
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, we'll vote on the worst story of the day. Our reigning champion, man doused with blood while cleaning out sewer. Let's pay a visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, sometime after he killed two people in a dormitory, but before he slaughtered over 30 more in a classroom building, Cho sent NBC News a rambling communication and videos about his grievances. This is breaking news just out moments ago. Network officials turned over the material to the FBI and said they would not immediately disclose its contents. Well, except on NBC Nightly News tonight. So that's that. So apparently these materials included some writings and possibly some videos. So that's all we know at the present time.
The smoking gun has, some of what he was writing. I haven't bothered to really read it, though. It's just that the whole thing is a little too freaky, so I haven't bothered to look at it.
And let's see here. I had another story here. Apparently, that's been taken back. Okay.
Okay, now, do we not want to report?
We do not want to report that because I don't see it here. Okay. Apparently, there have been bomb scares all over the place today.
And we had had a report that there was
something else happening, but apparently that has been rescinded.
And I'm looking on Drudge. I don't see it there.
Yeah, that's been taken back.
All right.
Well, I'm sure we could all use a little good news. Would anybody like a bunny rabbit?
Sure, more than anything.
There are 141 rabbits up for adoption in Hillsboro. It's going to be a rabbit-a-thon, and it's going to take place April 28th from 9 to 3. Rabbits confiscated from the crazy rabbit lady, and she can't have them back again.
This is all right. Well, okay, we'll take this one later. This is the same batch of rabbits that the county had, and they just wonder. Well, you know, all right.
Well, there's
40 of them. I mean, it's going to end up. What?
Oh,
do we have the story?
Oh, well, no, this is something totally different.
All right.
If you watched Radio Days, you'll remember Kitty Carlisle.
Yeah.
She just passed away. She was 96, and she was here on New Year's Eve performing, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, she just passed away. Kitty Carlisle, whose long career spanned Broadway, opera, television, and film. You can see her a lot on those old game show reruns on the Game Show Channel. She died at the age of 96. She had pneumonia. She got over the Christmas holidays. It's funny because she was playing here, so she must have been sick during that period of time. And so she passed away peacefully in a Manhattan apartment. So
all right.
She was 96. And she was in Radio Days.
Boy, what a weird, just a weird week. I mean, not because a 96-year-old woman died, I suppose, but just it's just strange. It's like every time we turn around, there's just something happening. It just seems like
well, it brings all the crazy people out.
It does. It just seems like a very, very. I hate to say, I don't want to use that phrase, but it seems like a very, very crazy week in a lot of ways. Every time you turn around, there's something. And then Scotty heard something on Dennis Miller this morning. We can't confirm this either. We're full of news we can't confirm. We're full of things that we're just pulling out of our ass today. Scotty says he heard this morning on Dennis Miller that Imus was going to be returning to MSNBC. Not to the radio, but that he was going to be returning to television. And we have not been able to confirm that, although it should be noted that does dovetail with some comments that Imus made in print a day or two ago in which she said he had had a substantial television offer, although that's, you know, that's the thing people always say. Mm-hmm. People get fired and they always go, well, I got something in the works. In fact, if you if you read, I'm pretty sure if you go to, when you're a listener party 10 tomorrow, I was captioning some final items this morning and there is one of the pieces from the firing, and I think it's the one in... I think it's the one in the Oregonian called, Hey, What Happened to My Radio, Dude? Or whatever that Christy Turnquist piece was called. And I'm pretty sure that I have a quote in there saying, well, I've got some offers, but haven't settled on anything specific yet. I'm not really saying that that was a flat-out falsehood, but I'm just saying that that really, really the offers were along the line of, well, I guess if you want to drop off a tape, we'll listen to it, but we're not hiring at the moment, Mr. Emerson. I think that's really what the offer is. You always do try to put a brave face on things, though. All right. Well, what else have we at this very moment?
And that's about it. It is quiet at the moment. So apparently, he sent a message, video and photos, to NBC somewhere between the first batch and the second batch.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that the first time. So it was in the two-hour window.
Right. So that's probably what he was doing.
That's so creepy.
And instead of message, video, photos.
And it's creepy beyond words. So he does the first batch of killing.
Apparently it's a rambling communication and videos about his grievances.
Takes some time out to record some angry, pissed off things. Sends them to NBC News.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets on with the second half of the killing.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, creepy. That reminds me of Zodiac. You know, when he... when there's
it is described as a long multimedia manifesto.
Oh, that's a phrase that you're going to hear. That's a whoever created that phrase is patting themselves in the back right now. You're going to hear that more and more in the future.
So that's going to be on a
multimedia manifesto.
It's going to be on nightly news tonight.
All right. So there you go. So that's tonight. And by the way,
Katie Couric will be by herself.
Speaking to no one. yeah, boy, it's been a weird month for CBS too. Speaking of which, and this is a final thing that I'll say about this until there's any breaking news about Imus. As much as I've fallen out of the habit of watching South Park every week, because it's like, you know, it's always around and it's on YouTube and it's constantly being played back and whatever, I do wonder if the South Park guys are going to take aim at the Imus thing, because although it's now been overshadowed by the shooting at Virginia Tech and there's the whatever, that Imus thing and the issue of what you can say, because South Park, those guys are no stranger to racial language and ethnic language and profanity and sacrilege. The issue of being fired over what you can say and what you can't say does seem to sort of... That seems to be the wheelhouse in which Trey Parker operates. So I will be watching South Park tonight. And if anybody knows what South Park is going to be or if it's even come out, because those guys are known to create those episodes, you know, 24 hours
in advance. They have, you know, slaves in those third world countries putting those cartoons together.
Faster! You've got to get this episode ready for air at 10 a.m. At 10 p.m. It's true. I mean, I remember the first time that happened... I remember the first time that South Park really blew us away with that was during that Elian Gonzalez thing. And there was that famous photograph of the guy with the SWAT team and the rifle and Elian hiding in a closet with the adult or whatever. And then that same image showed up on South Park the next night. And we were all like, what the... Am I high? You know, it was a total WTF moment where we had no idea what the hell was going on. So I wonder if South Park is going to address Imus tomorrow. I would not be surprised, or tonight. I would be surprised if they did not, because it is just so much there. Their issue. Let's see. This is Carson. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
What's going down, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Well, I was listening to you earlier. I was busy, but my buddy was listening. He said you had mentioned me and trying to remember what my name was, because I'm the guy that you had a toast with.
Carson. And what was your grandfather? P.H. That was his name. That
was also, previous to that, another listener party, I was the air guitar god.
Were you the guy, you're all over the history of our listener parties, you were the guy that won the air guitar contest at What Happened to My Pants?
It was, I think it was Bloodbath and Beyond.
Was it?
It was the one right before Halloween, I remember that much, because I came in there with a porn star shirt on and everybody was calling me something else, if you remember that part.
They all blend together at a certain point.
it was a stunt rooster.
is what they were chanting.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. You came to Sabalas last year. Your grandfather had died, PH. He was not able to, obviously, he had passed away. You were going to go to the funeral. You instead came to the listener party, and then we did a big toast. And you spoke for a short while about him and his life and his memory. And we decided that, life is for the living, and he would want you to drink deeply from the cup of life.
Exactly, so. And we definitely did that night.
All right. Well, I'm glad. Are you going to be there tomorrow, sir?
Absolutely, buddy. I wouldn't miss it.
All right, Carson, thank you. So thank you for clarifying that, and we will see you tomorrow at Listener Party 10.
For sure.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That's Carson, ladies and gentlemen. So Kitty Carlisle Hart. So I was trying to place who she was in Radio Days, and now I know she was...
She was singing. Underneath the Maxwell House sign?
Is that her?
Yeah.
Is that who she was? Okay, so she's...
The brunette woman.
Okay, so I guess that's not... I guess she's not who I thought she was then, but so she sings, all right.
If you watch the old panel shows, I'm on the NFL Network on late at night, she's always on.
I'm going to have to go by. The Radio Day is actually sitting on my sitting on my TiVo right now, actually, because my TiVo, one of my key phrases is Woody Allen, and it just takes any Woody Allen movie that goes by.
All right.
Well, we should probably, Sarah, do we have to take a break here?
Yes. Whoa, yes, very much so.
All right, so we'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll have another Worst Story in the World face-off. We got Lycus at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget, Tim Riley returns at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock for your edification purposes later on in the evening. Tim Riley returns 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock tonight. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid state radio. Don't go anywhere. Segment of the Rick Emerson radio program coming up at 3. Tom Lyke is down, and Mike at 7. All right. Let's see. I got was asking if people knew. Okay, so apparently tonight's South Park claims to be about the homeless, not about Don Imus. Well, we'll see. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick. Let's see. You would be the worst shrink ever. Half the sessions would end 20 minutes early with something like, please to be talking no more. I'd rather puncture my eardrums with a large copper nail before diving into a pool of molten lava than hear you utter one more sound. Leave me now. The other half of the sessions would end badly. Thank you. Rick, first grade is one of the hardest grades to teach because you have to teach children to read. That's harder than dealing with middle school punks and trying to shove Anne Frank down their throats. Okay? Rick, about flying Southwest. No lie, I was flying Southwest once, and they gave us all bags of chips. The thing is, the chips were labeled not with a brand name, but with a giant question mark. He says, later I found out it was a sort of promotion gimmick from Frito-Lay, but it was all very unsettling while on the plane. And this is from Todd the Corpse. And he says, yes, it will be my first listener party. I demand to be bought beers. Okay? And done. What else do we have here? F you, Rick Emerson. I drive a Subaru. And I bought it on my own credit. I didn't need my wife to co-sign for me. And my car isn't missing the driver's side door. Jackass, he says.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. How about this, Rick? One time at a listener party, I got up the nerve to ask Mr. Riley if I could take a photo with him. I keep it on my phone and show it to people when I try to impress them. There you go.
I'm honored.
Fantastic. Tim Riley, who will be back at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock tonight with news and news and things. News of the world.
It's a full-time job.
It really is. It really is. Bringing the news to the people. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. All right. How long do we have for the music starts here?
I don't know, like 7 minutes.
All right. Let's get Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Looking forward to coming out and seeing the listener party tomorrow night.
Thank you, sir.
It'll be a virgin listener party here.
It's going to be a great time.
You know what I mean.
Absolutely.
About South Park, they really did cover this in the season premiere when they with Michael Richards and all that.
That's true. Yeah, so maybe the Imus thing would be redundant at this point.
Yeah, it would seem that it would be kind of, then I think tonight's just about the homeless or
all right.
So,
all right.
That's that whole, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. And so, I think we have, what, we have like 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I got time to do these stories. Okay.
Plenty of time. So, is it another worse story?
It is.
Oh. You're not going to reread them.
I am. I like it even to ask full sentences. Are you? Yes. No, but yes. Don't forget, Rick Emmer's Listener Party 10 happens for 28 hours. 28 hours from now, tomorrow, 7 p.m., Barracuda. No cover, no minimum anything, just be 21 and be there. And, of course, we strongly encourage all the female listeners to find a schoolgirl outfit. Come in it, not required, but wear whatever you like. Come on down.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to bring you on stage if you're in school group. And also be sure to be there on time because we have a video.
Oh, that's you don't want to miss the introduction. That's the other thing. You got to be there right at 7. That's the other thing. We say it starts at 7. That isn't like a it starts at 7, you be there a few hours later, fashionably late. It starts at 7. It is you don't want to miss the introduction. Really.
Miss it.
If you saw the introduction video, if you saw the introduction video last year, that's... I don't even know how to describe the introduction video this year. I really don't even know.
Raul decided to show his mother the video from the one last year, yesterday.
Where you're punching Joni in the face.
And swearing at her. And
I hate it when they speak English.
Yeah, his mom totally thinks I'm crazy.
Fantastic. So you don't want to miss the introduction video. And yeah, if you're a... at a certain point toward the end of the evening, we kind of round up the schoolgirls and we kind of have them all in one place. And there's lots of photos and everything. It's going to be a great time. So it really is good front to back. Emerson Starship is playing. They got a special song. They've added the lineup, the mystery guest, Hit Me Baby. And of course, the big thing is the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show. The audience, we're all there. Everybody kind of mingles, presses the flesh, whatever. And then there's going to be all that museum stuff showing the last 10 years, the last 10 listener parties and, all of that. All right, real quickly, Rob at the House of Rick. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. Excited about tomorrow. I've got my sleeping bag. I'm going down to get in line about 7 o'clock tonight.
God bless you, sir.
Oh, you.
So how many exhibits would you say are going to be in this history museum?
Oh, man. I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of things. Some big, some small, some in between. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I was up till about 2 in the morning captioning stuff.
Some good surprises, like... makes you remember some things that you forgot happened before, because that happens a lot after these parties.
Totally. There, by the way, is going to be an entire slideshow of photographs of all 9 previous listener parties, including a photograph of you attempting to kiss the low, our good friend and a hip-hop artist, attempting to kiss the low on the mouth and him recoiling in horror.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest facial expression shots I've ever seen.
It's fantastic. He'll be there, too. He will be there tomorrow night as well.
Oh, I thought he was going to be the mystery guest.
Well, now you know, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow night.
All right, thank you, my friend. There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's very quickly, let's see, where is my news that hurts bed? Valuable time ticking away, life force ending. We heard the commercial where the guy's eating Fritos or something and comb over, not working. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little Rick Emerson Insta poll. It's time to narrow our search for the worst story in the history of the world. I will read both these stories, then we will take your calls about which story is the worst. Here is story number 1, our reigning champion.
You have to read it again.
Blood sprays out of sewer onto city worker. A Minneapolis city worker is worried about blood in the sewer system because he said while he was cleaning the sewer, blood sprayed out of a hole and got all over him. It was a lot of blood. I mean a lot of blood, said sewer maintenance worker Ron Huebner. Blood all over my face. Blood in my mouth. It was terrible. I could taste it. I kept spitting out the blood, but it kept filling up my mouth, said Huebner. Huebner said he hasn't been sleeping much. He's worried about the blood that he swallowed when he was operating a jet machine to clean out the sewer. All right. We did not specifically know that the blood was coming from a medical facility nearby, said his bosses. There are many, many companies that have permits to discharge blood into the sewer system. According to the Met Council, there are 4 slaughterhouses, 20 hospitals, and a dozen medical and pharmaceutical companies that have these permits. It was a mixture of human and animal blood from a nearby laboratory. That's story number 1.
Okay.
Here's story number 2.
At least it's not the stomach one.
Akron, Ohio. A jury awarded $786,000 to an Ohio man who said he has endured years of pain and must walk bow-legged after his left testicle was crushed by a broken weight machine bar at an athletic club. You can't appreciate this, Sarah. I can barely walk. There's a constant throbbing of pain. I mean, it's my testicle, said Jason Houston, 25, adding that sex is, quote, tenuous following the 2004 injury at the Akron Health Club. Houston was lifting 68 kilograms on a leg extension machine when a cable broke. That caused a center steel rod with an adjusting ball to swing 180 degrees into his groin, crushing a testicle. Every time he moves, it hurts, said his lawyer. That's story number two. There you go. Crushed testicle at the gym or swallowing the blood of animals in a sewer. We'll take your calls right now at 503-733-2970. 503.
We don't have time, darling.
How much time do we have to the end of the show?
40 seconds plus that's the music.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll take them. We'll just take them all the way up to
all
the end.
All the way to the
end.
We'll
take them all the way up to the end. We're just going to take your calls at 503-733-2970. All the way up. Because here's the thing. Is the alternative... I say waiting for the delay to get past us. The alternative is just to read both of these stories again tomorrow.
Please don't.
All right. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970. Solid State Radio in the newsroom. It's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We have Tom Likas coming up next. Don and Mike at 7. We'll have Stephanie Miller tomorrow, 6 to 8 a.m. And, of course, Dennis Miller, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll be back tomorrow. And, of course, the Rick Emerson Listener Party number 10 happens tomorrow night, 7 p.m. And Barrett, we're not going to have time, are we?
No.
I'm going to have to read them both again tomorrow.
All right, you can pick up. Okay, pick up like two.
We'll just get an early pulse on this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find the worst?
Oh, the testicle. Oh.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which do you find the worst?
Oh, the other testicle? It's got to be the testicle.
Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find the worst?
Got to be the blood.
All right, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find the worst?
We're a country that hates stories about testicles, so I say testicle.
All right, we'll finish the voting tomorrow.
We have
as
the female
always,
vote.
Don't let the bastards grind it down. Try to help the retarded. We'll see you tomorrow for Listener Party 10. Isn't that right, Donkey?
That was too soon.